The following is a special local sports presentation on 92.1 WVTK. This is Middlebury Union High School football. All season long, catch every game, home and away, as the Tigers defend their state championship. Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK is brought to you in part by
your locally owned credit union, One Credit Union, Green Street in Virgins. McIntyre Services of Middlebury, making friends warm for 70 years. Addison County Commission Sales, Addison County's premier destination for Vermont livestock. Martin's Hardware of Bristol and Middlebury, your True Value hardware store. Bordon Insurance of Middlebury, home of the co-op chicks for all your insurance needs. Eustace Farm Supply and Hardware, proudly started and run by the Eustace family of Brit Porch. Monument Farms of Weybridge, join the movement and support local farms. The A. Johnson Lumber Company of Bristol, sustainable timber harvesting and SFI certified. Vermont Field Sports, for all your hunting needs and a great selection of new and used guns, Route 7 in Middlebury. Mike's Auto and Towing, for all your car care needs and a whole lot more. Mike'sAutoMid.com. That's Mike's Auto, M-I-D-D.com. The National Bank of Middlebury, offering accounts for every stage of life to meet your financial needs in Middlebury, Brandon, Bristol, Hinesburg, and Virgins. LaBerge Insurance, LaBerge equals insurance, Washington Street in Middlebury. Poulin Auto, changing the way you feel about buying a car in South Burlington and Barrie. Woodware Fine Furniture, Route 7 South in Middlebury. Desibray's Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat, 1232 Exchange Street in Middlebury, with a drop-off location at Linda's Apparel in Virgins. Foster Motors, home of the We Care People on Route 7 in Middlebury. Fourth and Goal, everything for the rink, court, pool, field, and diamond, 68 Main Street in Middlebury. Mike's Fuels, for all your home, business, and agricultural needs, Route 22A in Bridport. Della Motorsports in Plattsburgh, making your buying experience a pleasant one. And J.P. Carrera and Sons Concrete, always ready to mix, and they guarantee a solid finish. Call them at 388-6363.
And now, with the call of today's game, here's Bjarke Sears and Marshall Hastings on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Well, Marshall, it is a first of sorts for tonight. We are up here in Hinesburg at CVU for the final regular season game of the year for the Middlebury Tigers as they take on the CVU Redhawks. Senior night up in Hinesburg, but that's not going to be what makes the night be remembered for the players tonight. It is, for what everyone has said here tonight, the first time playing under the lights, Friday Night Lights, here at Hinesburg for the CVU Redhawks. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our Week 8 game on 92.1 WPTK, along with Marshall Hastings. I'm Bjarke Sears. We're excited to bring you tonight's game. Marshall, what do you think of the setup?
Well, I think we can see two-thirds of the field, so I'm going to be interested to see what goes on the other side that we can't see with this gorgeous press box right in our spot. But it's a special night here in CVU. Seniors, you work for 4 years, and that's obviously the goal for all these boosters and these families, to get a Friday Night Lights game. So to honor these guys, CVU seniors, their final home game with this game under lights, I think is a special moment for them. And honestly, you know, this is something that I think, you know, Hinesburg and CVU certainly deserves. Friday Night Football creates the community, certainly a little bit more than Saturday football tends to do. So an exciting night, historical night for CVU. But for Middlebury, you know, a night that has a lot of implications. You know, you have the capability. A win secures the two. When a loss, you could drop down to that three seed. And that goes a long way, knowing that you may have to go on the road to play either Rutland or Hartford, the two teams vying tonight for that top spot in their matchup. So this is, you know, big implications for CVU, but at the same time, big playoff implications for the Tigers as well at the top of the division.
For sure. Just to flesh that out a little bit, Middlebury comes in tonight 7-0, but because of the QPR, the quality points ratings, so the way those are factored, Middlebury comes in, even though they're 7-0, they come in at third, but the two teams tied for first and second, as you mentioned, Rutland and Hartford, they are playing tonight. So one of them is, as long as Middlebury wins tonight, will drop to third. If Middlebury loses, though, it becomes dicier with the QPR, and we'll get into that later. And for CVU, they come in at 4-3, and you explained what their playoff scenario is. So certainly a big night for, I would have to say, in many ways, probably for CVU, a little tighter, a little more nervous, a little more everything than for Middlebury, who kind of knows that they need to take care of business and be able to go home. Certainly for them playing on a Friday night, this actually lines up better for them emotionally and in terms of their regular routines, although they did not have school today, which does sometimes throw people off a little bit. But Marshall, when it comes to throwing people off, talk to me a little bit about, you know, your perception as a former player, this light setup and how it might affect things a little bit.
Well, one thing is these are, you know, these are typical construction lights, the ones that you might see on the highway for night work. And so the thing is that these are substantially lower than the lights you would see at Doc Collins Field or any, you know, typical field with permanent lights on the football field. So these are, you know, maybe 35, 45 feet up in the air rather than the 150 feet that you would see at Doc Collins. So the problem with this is that any punt or kick, because, you know, we got two rush-based teams, the likelihood of a ball going up that high probably is very minimal, but a punt or kick going up into the air, very similar to baseball, when that ball goes above the light towers, very easy to lose the football or lose the baseball in those situations. So what I want to be able to do, see, is if that does happen at all, if when that ball is kicked above the light tower, do players lose it? Do they kind of lose the ability to see the football, or is that just not going to be a big enough problem because these light towers are tall enough that a Vermont punter or kicker isn't going to be able to hit the ball or kick the ball that far up into the air? That's going to be my interesting thing to see, is how and if and when players lose the ball into the lights, especially see you guys who aren't used to playing the football, the Friday night games here. When you're at Doc Collins, you're used to playing Friday nights. You're used to light bulb practices on Thursdays. You get used to where the lights are, and that's different here, obviously, because now we've got four lines of lights on either side. Not typically, you know, Middlebury only has two on each side. So it's going to be interesting to see how the lights begin to affect the players early, and that could play implications come the fourth quarter.
And a lot more to talk about here at the pregame show at 92.1 WVTK. We'll step aside for a moment, but we'll be back with a little more discussion on what's turning into a beautiful Friday night here in Hinesburg. You're listening to High School Football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Dilla Motorsports celebrates victory motorcycles with high performance, exhilarating experiences every week in the month of October. Visit Dilla Motorsports to learn more and get up to a $1,400 rebate on off-road vehicles. Up to $2,000 rebate on victory and a 5-year factory warranty on all remaining in-stock 2015 models with rates as low as 2.99%.
Certain restrictions and exclusions apply. See dealer for details. Always wear a helmet, never ride under the influence.
Dilla Motorsports, 7 Dilla Drive, Plattsburgh. DillaMotorsports.net.
That's right, folks. It's the most wonderful time of the year, hunting season. This is Paul from Vermont Field Sports, where you'll find everything you need for a successful season. We are proud to carry Browning's full line of hunting, shooting, and outdoor products. If you're looking for the very best in over and under, auto loading, and pump action shotguns, Browning has the gun for you. And our staff has the experience to help you choose. Check out Browning accessories like cases, shooting bags, knives, lights, and outdoor clothing. Vermont Field Sports, located Route 7 South in Middlebury, or visit us on Facebook at VT Field Sports.
Fourth and Goal Sports opened in 1983 with the goal of being the sports shop for individual athletes and teams in Middlebury. They want to thank you, their friends, for helping them achieve their goal. For the best in sports equipment at the best price, there's only one place to go. Fourth and Goal in Middlebury. They're all about Middlebury College, too. Hats and sweatshirts for their home teams. Fourth and Goal, 68 Main Street, Middlebury. Everything for the rink, court, pool, field, and diamond.
My grandfather once said, "People who care build something that people care about. It's not an easy process, let me tell you. But if you take it one brick at a time, the result can be outstanding." Hey everybody, it's Alan Buzz Busby from Poulin Auto Sales and Service. And my grandfather was right. You've got to build something that people care about, or it's not even worth it. Over the past year, we've gone through a lot of changes. We've restructured. We're listening to you. We're working with folks, making good deals, good honest deals, changing lives. It's a process and it definitely takes time. At Poulin Auto Sales and Service, we're building something great, something that our customers care about, and we're inviting you to share in our success. So buy your next pre-owned car or truck at Poulin Auto Sales and Service on Shelburne Road in South Burlington or Eastbury Road in Barrie. Change really is good. Poulin Auto Sales and Service, changing the way you feel about buying a car.
High school football is on 92.1 WVTK.
The generators are on, the lights are going. It's Friday Night Football here in Hinesburg for the first time. Friday Night Lights here at CVU, and what it undoubtedly is a chance to get the crowd excited about the prospect of Friday Night Football. Marshall, they've been asking for a few years now to have to try to get some different sort of field here and get the setup, and already when somebody was introducing the lights to the crowd, they mentioned hopefully this will be the beginning of a tradition. So I have no doubt here what we're also seeing is a bit of a political, not in a terrible way, I don't mean to criticize it at all. I think that's the way sometimes these things work. but it's a little bit of a thing to kind of show them, okay, this is what you could have. This is the experience. When we signed off for that quick break, you had been talking about the way the lights, are going to affect the kicking game. And one thing I also have to think about, Marshall, is the angle of the lights for the players. Them being so much lower, when you turn your head, you're much more likely to get a light directly in the eye. We're up here about 30 feet off the ground maybe, and we're not getting the angle of the lights. And still, it's pretty intense when you look out. They're going to be down on the field where the lights are pointed down at them. Is that going to have any effect on the game?
Well, it's interesting because if you look at it, where all the lights are, right in front of it on the sideline, it's just this glaring, just explosion of light on the field. And, the rest of the field is certainly illuminated, but that is kind of the one point. So I think that could be, if you're on the sideline and you're looking either way, you're trying to make a tackle, you're trying to defend someone, or you're looking up at the ball, in those locations, in those four locations on either sideline where that light is at its epicenter, I think that could be where we see a little bit of the problems. But I think at the same time, you're running and you're trying to see where a defender is, or you're trying to see a hole, or see a pitch, or any type of visual opportunity. The lights being that low are could potentially have an effect because they're not at that 150, 200-foot level that most light towers on high school football fields tend to be at.
And we're about to talk about the teams a little bit, as we should. It's not just about the lights, but I think we should just let people know a little bit. It's an interesting situation we're in. Now, as you go through things, you accumulate stories. And one of the things, as you all know, as a teacher, I like to share stories with students. But when you're young, you start accumulating these stories. And one has to think someday, Marshall, this might be a story you get to tell.
Well, I sure hope so. Whether it's just talking to myself in the insane asylum or talking to people on any syndicated broadcast, this is an interesting story. Seeing we're out on the stairwell here to the right of the CVU press box, and it's convenient that the stairwell is on the back end of the press box, so the nice front right corner of the box is blocking the 35-yard line and down from our point of view. The rest of the field, seen, but the awnings on the bleachers that the CVU boosters have brought in illuminates the two-staged press box that CVU has, so that underneath us can't even get to, wouldn't be able to, you can see the 45 to the 45, that's about all you got.
So yeah, and even actually the near sideline is going to be tricky, so it'll be a thing. It's going to be even more pressure on me, because in some cases I'm going to have to describe what I see over people's heads to you, so you can make comments about it, but we'll work it out. It's going to be fun, and it's going to be one of those things that we could talk about for years to come. It'll be like the time Dave had to sit a couple rows in front of me at the press box in St. Albans. I was in the box. He was just sitting among all the people, and you well know how loud he was.
Yeah.
It was kind of like just a guy in the stands talking to himself. It was pretty great. So this will be there with that. But let's talk about the teams here for a minute, Marshall. So we have the Tigers coming in at 7-0, and we have certainly CVU coming in a game that's pretty darn important to them in a lot of ways, coming in at 4-3. And for you, what are the keys to the game tonight?
Well, I think the keys for Middlebury is going to be, eliminate the thought that you could drop to the 3 seed, because that was back in 2011. We had a capability. We came up to CVU for the final game of the regular season. If we won, we were going to be we were going to be the 4 seed. And everyone knew the 4 seed got Hartford in the semifinals. Mm-hmm. If we win, we would clinch the 3 seed, and that would mean a matchup with BFA where we'd make it to the semifinals. We were losing late in that game. We were able to rally, get to the win, get that 3 seed, beat Colchester, and beat BFA. But having to avoid Hartford was the key to our playoff. We can make a run to the state championship if we avoid Hartford. Obviously, we got the state championship, couldn't avoid them then. But here's the opportunity for Middlebury, is if you lose this game and you have that capability drop to a 3 seed, you're going to have to go on the road to either Rutland or Hartford, and you want to avoid those guys on the road before the state championship game. So the thing is don't get that thought in your head. Kind of play this game as loose as you played the first 7 games of the season. Just play the game fluidly. Know how good you can be and what your effectiveness is, and go that approach. For CVU, you can't really escape the fact that this is a big game. A win and you get a 4 seed at home, a losing you're on the road as the 5 seed, and this is a top-heavy Division One, looking at the Mount Anthony and Brattleboro scenario where either of those guys could get a win and clinch up to that 4 seed. So if I'm CVU, play this game as if it's a playoff game, because this is the start of your postseason. If you want another home game, potentially under the lights or on a Saturday afternoon, you need to win right now. So go out, play this game as if it's a postseason football game. Your playoffs start right now. Act like it. Come out firing. They've had a couple games in the past where they've come out a little slow and fell behind early. They've been able to rally on a couple, in particular Rice. They're down 20-14 at halftime. They're going to have to come out firing, come out quick, because although Middlebury doesn't tend to start, lightning fast, you let them get ahead or get their confidence going, they're a tough team to beat.
And in a way, that's actually a pretty nice setup for CVU, in a sense. This is not a team that has a lot of experience with those high-pressure games. Having a high-pressure game that still isn't do or die, it feels a little like a playoff game in terms of the implications, but it's still not. That's kind of nice, right? Because even if you falter in a certain ways, hopefully you learn some things coming out of it. That way you're not going to learn. Where it isn't going to help is the Tigers right now aren't actually giving up. I was looking at the stats today, Marshall. They're not giving up many more points than they did last year.
Yes.
They're not scoring as many. They scored about 43 the last game. They're scoring about a 28-point-per-game clip this year. But the defense hasn't been that different.
No.
For CBU tonight, where the danger is if you get hit pretty hard.
Absolutely. And, you know, I hate to be the Debbie Downer, but then you're going to come back. You got to look at the schedule they played. A lot of those teams, Rice, South Burlington, Essex, you know, Essex, they gave up a lot of points late in that football game, and Essex has turned on with a chance to make the postseason with a win and some help. But for the most part, this hasn't been the strongest schedule as we've seen in years past. But that's not to take anything away. This is still a very good defense. For CBU, though, this is an organization and a football program that for the last 3-4 years has kind of been the epitome of just great in the regular season and then just falls apart late. So I know you want to talk about, well, yeah, you got the backup. You know the worst case scenario, you're probably getting a 5 seed in the first round of the playoffs. But this is a football team under Coach Jim Provost for the last couple seasons that has faltered as soon as they got in. Mike Williams comes in. He's had a great success at the D3 and D2 level. He's got to start building this franchise, this program, to say, hey, every week's a postseason game at this point. Let's go and play like it. Don't think that, hey, yeah, we got next week, because next week there isn't one. So we got to start playing like there's no tomorrow, and that's got to start with the number one team, in my opinion, right now in the state. You're undefeated. You deserve that ranking.
Sure.
You got to go. You got to play as if this is a postseason game, because if you want to be a state champion, if you're the Redhawks, you're going to have to go through Middlebury, Rutland, and or Hartford in some order, and that's going to start tonight.
That's a tough row. That's a tough row to hoe. And you mentioned, you know, those past kind of not really doing a lot in the playoffs. I think that combined with some issues with maybe kind of perceived temperament, and I think wearing out the welcome did eventually lead to a coaching change.
Yeah.
And that coaching change has brought a different offensive philosophy, a much more run-based thing. I think Provost was trying to, you know, it's been a funny process. You know, I feel like Hartford and Middlebury made a big dent in this. Teams really started going to the spread a lot back in your time. I mean, I think it was kind of in your playing days when lots of teams were trying the spread. To me, I thought that was heavily influenced by the Patriots. I thought you had a lot of people in New England who were like, the spread, we can run the spread.
Right.
Then they start realizing they don't have the horses to run the spread.
Absolutely.
Unless you are a few teams once in a while, unless you're Rice and you have, you know, Christian McCormick.
Yeah.
Rarely can you run the spread effectively in Vermont with the number of horses.
Yeah.
So they've now moved to this Middlebury system, you know, not a Middlebury system, but a more Middlebury-ish system,
mm-hmm.
which has been working for them. It's been effective, but now they run into one of the teams, along with Hartford probably, which are the two teams best suited to stop this system.
Absolutely. I mean, you run into Middlebury, and the thing is that whenever, you know, we played someone like Colchester, who ran a similar offensive style, or MMU, practice that week, it wasn't that it was easy, but you could walk in and say, I know exactly what these guys are doing, because,
sure.
I'm not going to give away secrets here, but the offensive line is going to tell you exactly where the football is going. A guard tackle pulls, that's where the ball's going. The running back's going back behind him. If you're a defensive lineman, you can just hop in that back pocket, and you can follow that man right to the ball. That's what Middlebury's going to do. And so when you start doing these counteractions and these triple options, when you're on defense, you say, I know this play. I've seen this play 10 times during preseason a day, if not more per rep. So you're coming out, you are used to this, and that's the benefit for Middlebury. Now you're coming in, you're CVU, and you're similar fashion, you're getting that looks in practice, but it's not the same, because this isn't something you've been ingrained in your mind for the last 4 years. Middlebury, you know, you run this offense from freshman year through senior year. You know this by senior year. CVU being the first season they've done this, you don't know it so well from the other side of the football. So there's still going to be some problems, I think, for CVU slowing down this running attack. I think Middlebury is going to have success being able to stop the run since they're so used to it. And throughout the season, they have been the best run-stopping team in the state.
Yeah.
They've struggled through the air, but this is a football team in CVU that tends to run first and try to lull you to sleep with the passing game. As long as Middlebury stays awake, stays aware, they're going to be able to slow this offense in CVU down. They're going to be able to make plays. They're going to be able to have success.
And we'll see how that plays out. It's all the theory at the beginning of the game,
absolutely.
But then we see it put into practice as we go along. We're going to step aside for a moment. We'll be back with a little more pregame and with the starters as we inch closer to the beginning of Week 8. It's the final regular season game as the Tigers look to gear up for the playoffs. It's the Tigers and CBU Redhawks. It's high school football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
McIntyre Services, a family business owned and operated in Middlebury for 72 years. They sell home heating fuel, diesel fuel, and gasoline. One on 213 Exchange Street, and you have the news station, 49 Court Street. Both are in Middlebury, and both are open 24-7. Sunoco is their brand, and they encourage their customers to apply for the Sunoco Rewards Card, which gives you 5 cents a gallon off the pump price of gasoline or diesel. McIntyre Services of Middlebury, making friends warm for 72 years.
Desabre Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat is located at 1232 Exchange Street, Middlebury. Our dry cleaning department is open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday and 9 to 3 on Saturday for all your dry cleaning needs. We offer wash, dry, fold, shirt service, bulk rate dry cleaning, wedding gowns, rugs, Uggs, bedding, and alterations. The laundromat's open 7 days a week, 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. For our customers, there's free Wi-Fi available as well as a TV room. We have single load washers, up to 60-pound washers, and 30-pound to 75-pound dryers. Use our drop-off locations at Linda's Apparel in Vergennes and the Enchanted Closet in Bristol. Desabre on Exchange Street in Middlebury. Celebrating 60 years in business, LaBerge equals insurance. LaBerge Insurance Agency has been helping you find the right insurance. Don't pay too much for the wrong coverage. LaBerge Insurance will get it right. Homeowners, renters, condo, auto, life, commercial, or farm insurance, call LaBerge at 388-2772. LaBerge Insurance Agency, locally owned and conveniently located at 1 Washington Street, Middlebury. A proud sponsor of Tiger Football. There are many banks to choose from. There's just one which truly puts personal service first and foremost. That's One Credit Union in Vergennes. The people at One Credit Union specialize in making your banking an easy and positive experience. Add in their very competitive lending rates, low-fee banking services, and the many electronic banking options with 24/7 access to your accounts, you'll see why One Credit Union is gaining new customers every day. One Credit Union, Green Street, Vergennes. You'll like doing business with them. One Credit Union, federally insured by the NCUA.
You're listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
And as we tick down towards the beginning of the game here on week 8, Marshall Hastings is going to give you the starters here for Middlebury Tigers and CVU Redhawks.
We'll start with the hosting CVU Redhawks offense. Under center leading this triple option attack is Andrew Bortnick. In the backfield, three-headed monster of Brad Reynolds, Braven Bose, and Richard Lurie III. Up front, Keenan Kitteridge, Robbie Brangen, Chris O'Brien, Nick Fectu, and Tripp Norris on the offensive line and out wide at wide receiver and tight end. Trevor Kingston and Sam Michael. To the Tiger offense, under center will be Oakley Gordon with Ali Abdul-Sader and Trey Kaufman in the backfield. Corlin Fisher at fullback. Up front, Bruce Wright, Chris Greer patrol the right side with Patrick Messenger under center and Nick Beauchamp and Wyatt LaBerge on the left side of the offensive line. And at tight end, Brady LaRock and Sawyer Ryan. This is going to be a big opportunity. Two teams going at it with this triple option attack. We'll see what happens.
So we're going to step aside for 1 second. We'll be back with the beginning of the game on 92.1 WVTK.
A great way to start off your day is with Monument Farms hot chocolate. Just pop their signature chocolate milk in the microwave and you have instant delicious hot chocolate. Great for the kids before they head outdoors and to school. You can find all Monument Farms local products in many area stores. And if you live nearby, please stop into their popular dairy store Mondays through Fridays. Monument Farms, landmark quality from the heart of Vermont in Weybridge.
It's the 2015 model closeout at Foster Motors in Middlebury. Choose from 0% up to 72 months or huge discounts and rebates on many of the remaining Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, or Rams. If you don't see the car, truck, or SUV you want in our inventory, we will special order or find it for you. Check us out at fostermotors.com or call 388-9961. Foster Motors is a proud sponsor of Tiger Football. 0% for 72 months with approved credit. Remember,
is your car in need of repair? Do you need a tow or maybe just general maintenance? I'm Mike McGrath from Mike's Auto. Here at Mike's, we do it all. We tow cars, we fix cars, we sell cars. We have storage and U-Haul. We have master ASC certified techs, and we guarantee all of our work. So if your car or truck vibrates, rattles, whines, knocks, or just plain leaks, give us a call or hit us online at mikesautomid.com. You can even like us on Facebook. And remember, if we can't fix it, it ain't broke.
If it's Tiger football, it's on WVTK, Port Henry, Ticonderoga, Middlebury, 92.1 WVTK. This is Middlebury Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK.
Nothing is more dangerous in the 21st century than someone whose job it has been to do social media as part of their work who now has a phone. And Marshall is capturing his existence right now and sending it to everyone he knows. So.
Well, mostly to Mom. Like I told you during the break, I don't think she'd be too thrilled with me leaning over a stairwell here 30 feet in the air just trying to see a high school football game. I don't think that'd really get her too excited. So I figured I'd pass it along just to worry her a little bit here on this Friday.
All right, very nice. And that's what her son's for. All right, so the teams are coming out, Marshall. When we get started, do you have any more starters for us?
That is it. No, that's our big game.
Oh, good. Well,
with CVU, they're going to have, like we talked about earlier, they'll lull you to sleep a little bit with that triple option attack and then try to go over the top. Sam Michael has had some big games and some touchdown receptions here for the CVU Redhawks at this point in the season. So expect to see a little bit of play action offense from the Redhawks with Andrew Bortnick under center. This is a multifaceted offense. Still, these athletes are used to running the spread, so they have the capability to throw the football. They're just in a run-based offense right now, and that's going to be the key kind of deciphering of these athletes.
Marshall, good news is a lot of the first quarter is going to be played on this side of the field.
We're hoping so. We are hoping so.
All right. So Middlebury is going to be going from your left to your right on your radio dial. CVU was waiting to take the kick from Middlebury. Is down, waiting at about their 12 on the kind of western end of the field here. They're going from right to left, and the kick is down, picked up at about the 15, being returned up the middle. Pretty decent space there. Man, plowing through tacklers, making it back to about the 35, and that's where CVU is going to start their first drive of the night.
As we kick off the first Friday Night Lights game here in Hinesburg, Tiger football on 92.1, brought to you by Vermont Field Sports for all your hunting needs and a great selection of new and used guns on Route 7 in Middlebury.
And here come the Redhawks, ready to take over their first drive of the night, their first time under the lights at home. Got to think there's some excitement, got to think there's some nerves, especially considering everything they're looking at. Andrew Bortnick is going to be under center here. And Bortnick's under center with three running backs, and Bortnick hands it up the middle and gets quickly stacked, a fullback at about, after a one-yard gain. We're going to get a number off that.
I believe that's going to be Lowry going up inside from the fullback position here for the Redhawks. And he's a capable offensive man here in the backfield for the Redhawks. So you're going to look a lot to see, you know, it's not one guy individually out of the backfield that's had success for the Redhawks. Richard Lowry III and Braven Bose both are very capable, as well as, you know, Andrew Bortnick.
And it's a turn, and this play, the Tigers just absolutely suck him off at the line of scrimmage as they turned around and looked to hand it over. And the quarterbacks are now running over to the sidelines here to talk to one of the coaches.
You want to talk about this kind of this multifaceted offense. Last week against Mount Anthony, Braven Bros had 20 carries for 95 yards, and Andrew Bortnick had 19 attempts, 10 completions for 197 yards and a pair of touchdowns. So, like I said, this is going to be an offense that's going to try to run the ball, but at the same time, lull you to sleep and beat you with the pass.
I think that was Bost on the carry on that one. And so Bortnick goes back, heads it off. This is Bost to the right side. Nice hole there on the side. Gets up to about the 41, but considering that was the third down here, not enough there for the Redhawks.
And the Redhawks twice tried to go with that triple option look inside that the Tigers have basically made a staple of their offense. And both times the Tiger interior defense is able to make the stand and forces the Redhawks into a third and long situation. They try to get a toss. They get about 4 yards. But because those first and second downs were so unsuccessful, they put themselves in a tough position. Tiger defense always gets the ball.
And they're punching away from the 41-yard line are the Redhawks. And the punter's running back. It's a high snap, but he's able to bring it down. And it's going to be a bouncing punt. Nothing getting over the lights here. And it's going to die without the Tigers touching it at about the 30 of the Tigers, where they're going to take over for their first drive of the night.
High School Football on 92.1 brought to you by the A. Johnson Lumber Company of Bristol, Sustainable Timber Harvesting, and SFI Certified. And basically the most ideal defensive possession that the Tigers could have dreamed up right there. You get a three and out, you get the ball. And pretty good field position here starting at your own 28-yard line.
And so the Tigers with Gordon under center and their regular three running backs coughing motion from right to the left. And it is Gordon keeping it himself and getting swarmed by a gang of Red Hawks. Looks like he bounced off his runner, couldn't decide whether to give it to Fisher or not, and gets swarmed after a substantial loss of about 8.
And there it was, as he tries to give the ball to Fisher, Fisher's basically hit immediately at the line of scrimmage, and Oakley Gordon was unable to get the ball out of the gut there of Fisher and keep himself. That's what kept him there, and as he tried to bounce that outside, loses about 9 yards.
And Gordon with his 3 running backs, under center, calling it out. And he takes it. In this case, he gives it to Ali Abdul-Sader. Come from a big hole on the right as he follows through, but didn't even quite get back to the original line of scrimmage.
And there's a counter action there from the Tigers, a play that they've had a lot of success with all season. Very quick offensive line that's led to their success in being able to get that one. Good patience from Ali Abdul-Sader. Like you said, doesn't get all of it, but does get a pretty hefty chunk, about 6-7 yards on that carry. Expect more of that, and in better down and distances, a very effective play call.
3rd and 11 for the Middlebury Tigers here. 3 running backs, no wide receivers. And it's Gordon, hands it off of Ali Abdul-Sader, coming over to that right side again from the left where he started. Gets stacked up pretty quickly at the line of scrimmage. Tigers are going to punt it away.
Now, the Tigers are going to have to punt this one away, but after losing about 9 yards on that first down, they did pick up about 10 yards right back, so that's one thing to look at. CBU, you get the stop, but although you get the stop, you did give up 10 yards on those final 2 plays. If Middlebury can avoid the negative plays, this could be an offense that's going to have success tonight against the Red Hawk D.
And it is 0-0 for the Tigers, and they are punting it away from about the 30. And it's blocked, it's knocked down, and the CB Redhawks batted down the field, and they're going to take it over, covering it up at about the 13-yard line. That was batted down by number 88. Zach Zoning.
And that's the worst case scenario. Poor blocking there on the right side of the offensive line for the Tigers. Allows Zoning through to Oakley Gordon on the punt. And now you're on defensive side of the ball. And what was a great offense, substantially average offensive and a great defensive possession for the Tigers, turns into complete chaos. And now you're going to have to play defense from about the 15-yard line headed in.
And actually, it's going to be set up
in count that's
for you. Oh, no question. So, 2 wide receivers, and this time it's being gone up the middle there by Bose, but a pickup of maybe about 3. Everybody, Marshall, it's tough on Marshall. He's hanging out sideways over some the shield here. So
I'm trying to manage. We'll get it done.
It's going to be 2nd and about 7 here, but they're down to about the 7-yard line.
But again, not very substantial run on the triple option inside. The Tigers are doing a great job of slowing that down on 3 carries. The Redhawks have basically picked up maybe 4 yards total on those 3 plays.
And quarterback dropping back, looking for a man in the end zone, overthrew him in the left corner. That was in line for number 87, Trevor Kingston. And it was, had a nice way to drop it in there, but was unable to do so. It was a little out of Kingston's reach.
Kingston had 3 receptions last week for 61 yards. And again, these are athletes. This is an offensive unit that's used to playing and has been is very adept at running the spread. So this is going to be a very effective passing game when they want to do it. But they're primarily a run-first team. But that doesn't mean that when they throw the ball, it's going to be as ineffective as other run-based teams may be.
3rd and goal for the Red Hawks here. Quarterback under center, dropping back, looking for that corner again for Kingston again. Brings it in. Touchdown. That was pretty easy for the big guy. Went up over the receiver. Red Hawks strike first.
And that's, beneficial drive there from the block punt. The Red Hawks aren't really showing they can do a lot, but that's a good offensive play there. A 7-yard hookup from Kingston. Kingston's got the size advantage over there on the far side. That's something the CBU Red Hawks are going to take advantage of. They run the fade route, and so basically all Andrew Borden is going to do is toss that ball up, and hopefully Kingston comes down with it, and in this case he does.
And so it is going to be the extra point kicked here by Tanner Smith. And it's out. It is good for sure. We had 8:34 left to go in the first quarter. The Red Hawks strike first. It's CVU 7, Middlebury Tigers 0. It's high school football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
For just what you need to get your projects done right, shop Martin's True Value Hardware and Radio Shack. Hi, I'm Kathleen Clark. These football games. Oh, what does that mean? The striped guy has his 2 arms up in the air.
It means it's good for the Tigers. Looks like they're headed for another win. Keep up the winning tradition, Tigers.
For all your fall needs, shop Martin's Hardware in Bristol and Middlebury. Behind every project is a true value.
This is where the Middlebury Tigers play. 92.1 WVTK.
And that didn't take long after the blocked punt. Nice job by Zach Zoning going through the line there and knocking it down. CVU took the ball over on the Tigers 10 and two attempts to Trevor Kingston. Clearly CVU knew where they want to go, and there's a reason for it. It was a nice job by the big man bringing that in left corner of the end zone. CVU on their first Friday night home game of their existence is leading 7-0. And they are ready to kick it off to the Tigers, who will wait down at their own 10-yard line. Like it is Honchel and Gordon waiting for the kick. And the kick is up. This is going to be going over to Jack Honchel. And it rolls out of bounds at about the 20 or so.
To go back to that touchdown there for CVU, they do a great job of running the fade route here on the left side of the field. They're able to get Kingston in a favorable matchup there against Ali Abdul-Sader as far as size advantages go. And basically just Bortnick throwing the ball up, and Kingston's able to pinpoint the ball at its peak, able to get up and above Abdul-Sader and pull that in. And this is a good start for the Redhawks. You know, you want to get any points you can, but here they haven't done anything really productive outside of a blocked punt to set that touchdown up. I'll be interested to see if they can get another stop here and if their offense can actually move the ball down the field rather than just take advantage of good field position.
And the Middlebury Tigers got done in by a big loss on the first drive. But looking long, they've got Sawyer Ryan running down the field. That's Brady LaRock running. Trey Kaufman, I take that back, running down the field, but he was unable to be connected with Oakley Gordon. Just threw a little too far for him.
And here's the thing. This is what CBU is doing. They've got all 11 men within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. So we've talked in weeks past stacking the box, meaning you stack the box, the tackle box between each offensive tackle 5 yards downfield. CBU has about 9 guys in it, and then the other 2 are just sitting about 2 yards outside of it. Nobody is deep. If the Tigers get open behind this secondary, there is a lot of grass.
And Gordon has Demo in motion this time, but he heads it up the middle. That is Fisher carrying it up straight up the middle, almost to the first down marker, a gain of about 9.
And this is, again, on the previous drive, after they lost about 9 yards on the first play of the offensive series for the Tigers, they made that up on 2 counterplays. This is offense that looks like it's going to be able to move the ball rather well against CVU, and that 9-yard pickup's proving it.
And third and about 1 from the Tigers, 44. And so Gordon keeping himself sprinting around to the right side. He's going to pick up the first down and then some, being driven up out at the 50-yard line. Tigers now on the other side of the field for the first time.
And that's what you kind of expected to see there. The triple option worked rather well on the opening drive, as did the counter. And after Corlin Fisher gets 9 yards on the triple option, look to the right, you go back right to it, get about 3 or 4, pick up the first new set of downs here at midfield.
And Gordon still has his 3 running backs. And he's got Kaufman going to motion from the right to the left. Gordon looks over, hands it up to Fisher, and he gets stoned pretty much at the line of scrimmage there. It's going to be on the 50 again, looking at the second down.
So it'll be interesting to see how often and how early the Tigers decide to try to run that play action. CVU is not playing with a safety anywhere near the first down marker. Like I said, these are all within 5 yards. If the Tigers continue to lull them to sleep with the counter actions and everything inside, a play action's going to hit, and it's going to hit big.
6:30 left to go in the first quarter. It's CVU 7, Middlebury 0. Gordon rolling out to his right. He had Nemo going downfield that way. Turns the corner. He's got some blockers. Tiptoeing down the sideline. Nice work there by Oakley. Looked like he was going to get driven out. Managed to get a nice gain on that run.
And this is what this Tiger offense is so effective at, is how athletic they are. They run the bootleg here to the right. Oakley Gordon is going to be a design QB. Essentially a sweep. He's going to go to the 7-hole, which is the perimeter of the football field. He's got 3 offensive linemen pulling in front of him. And because this Tiger offensive line is so athletic, they're able to get downfield and run with Gordon, opening up a big game.
Well over 10 yards. Now the Tigers are off the 37 of the Redhawks for the first down. Nemo in motion to right to the left. Gordon comes back and gives it over to Kaufman, who was going from the right to the left, and he was unable to get anything. So the Tigers so far on first down, Marshall, having trouble getting going.
Not at all, and that's a great play there from Jack Zahn, though. He sees the counter, and like I said in the pregame, just jumps right in the back pocket of the offensive lineman and leads him right to Trey Kaufman. But although they haven't been getting effective, and you know, you look at 2 negative plays, the plays that have been hitting right now for the Tigers are hitting for big games.
And Gordon under center again. 3 running backs, no wide receivers. Nemo kind of in motion from left to the right. Gordon going back, looking downfield for a receiver. The guy ran underneath, almost picked off by a Redhawk as he was able to stay underneath Sawyer Ryan, and the ball was underthrown, and he clearly bounced off the turf. They're arguing about it, but the Tigers are going to get another chance here. It's going to be third down.
Well, the Tigers are lucky on two fronts. One of that was called incomplete. It's a tough view from here with this awning, in my way at least. You got a couple inches on me, you can see over top of that. But the Tigers also got, you know, Steve, you got lucky because Trey Kaufman was wide open down the middle of the field. If Oakley Gordon turns his view just 5 inches to the left, he's going to see Trey Kaufman streaking in for 6 points. This Tiger offense, second consecutive play, they've had guys open deep in the secondary on the pass.
And this time they do have a running back here, and Gordon's running out to his right to look for him. A wide receiver, just nothing happening. Threw it in between two players for the Tigers. It's going to be fourth down.
They go with the counter play action there. That was the play that hit for two touchdowns last week in Rice. And again, the problem last week when those plays were incomplete, the counter option, or excuse me, play action counter pass, was that Oakley Gordon didn't have any time to set his feet and make a throw downfield. And again, as he goes to throw this football, Oakley Gordon's got a defender in his face. He's forced to just throw that thing up and it ends up short.
Well, my issue with that play always is the quarterback has to turn all the way around in order to set the feet and then be able to throw. It's very tough for someone to just turn and immediately chuck it. Hard to have your feet underneath you, have your balance, and move your hips properly. And it's just a tough place to be in. So it's Gordon going to be putting away here from the 37 of the Redhawks, looking to stick it back in their own territory. It's hitting down at about the 10. It's bouncing towards the end zone. It's going to be a touchback. So the Redhawks are going to be coming out to take it over for their second time. Right now, CBU is leading the Tigers by a score of 7-0 late in the first quarter.
High school football here on 92.1, brought to you by LaBerge Insurance for all your insurance needs. Washington Street in Middlebury, and by Pullin Auto, changing the way you feel about buying a car in South Burlington and Barrie. And now's the opportunity here. We didn't see a lot of effectiveness on the opening drive for CBU's offense, and they get the touchdown on the last drive, but that started at the 10-yard line. They were able to take advantage of a fade route, something you can't really run here in the open field. Are they going to be able to move the football? They haven't proven it yet.
Bordnick under center. He's got two wide receivers and three running backs. And he hands it off. Big gaping hole off the middle for the running back. Going down, really bouncing off people. Got tacklers on over him. Not a lot of wiggle, just a huge hole opened up on the offensive line. Nice work there by them and Brad Reynolds, who ran that ball for a major pickup. They got it up to about the 44.
And certainly, like I said, the opening possession, they weren't showing life. That time they do. They do a great job running the counter action from the left to the right. Reynolds hits the hole very strong, is able to get downfield. Tigers, though, far side defensive end, Trey Kaufman, came on late to the play. Could have been a reason for that wide open hole.
24-yard gain there by the running back. And this time it's the fullback up the middle for a keeper of about four. That carry was by Richard Lowry. Nothing fancy on those two plays in terms of what the running back's doing. Just got the little holes up the middle and diving through them.
Not at all. When this offense is in its prime and really moving well, this is a tough CBU team to beat. The key has been, though, they've had a lot of games where they've turned the ball over quite a bit, and that's led to them falling behind early. The key here is going to be keep the ball. Don't put the ball on the ground and give Middlebury good field position and a chance to move.
And it's second and about six for CBU, and as they move, they get called. Moved a little early, I think, the Redhawks did.
This will be a false start, bringing it to about a second down and 11 yards. On for the Redhawks, and that's going to make it very... Now, check that. It's going to be encroachment here on the Tigers, so that's going to make it second down and one, so more beneficial. Normally, that's not a dead ball play. Encroachment is typically, essentially a free play for the offense, five-yard penalty if something goes wrong. So a little surprised they blew it dead. Normally, those blow dead plays are penalties on the offense.
Second and two here for the Redhawks on Middlebury's side of the field, and they hand it off to the running back, barreling up the middle. Tigers all over. There's a whole gang of Tigers that are covering up Brad Reynolds.
And it's interesting how CBU is going to run the option, the counter. They run the counter back then, and they get back to the line of scrimmage, if that. And what happens is Bartnick in the backfield, he makes a pitch action like he's throwing a toss to the right, and he just stands there and waits for his halfback to come back where he gives him the football. If Middlebury gets into the backfield, Bartnick is going to have no idea if he gets a blindside shot from the defensive line. Interesting how they run the option.
Third and one here, Bartnick dropping back, and he gives it up the middle to Reynolds. Reynolds is able to pick up the first down, running hard between the guard and the tackle, and he's going to be the Middlebury 45 for a first down for CBU.
And Reynolds does a nice job cutting there, does a little bounce, a little hop jukes to get the first down. And this is a very experienced, but at the same time, very young backfield here for the CBU Redhawks. Reynolds and Bose, both juniors. Those are going to be the two tailbacks, as Lowry is the fullback and a senior, and Bornick the senior quarterback. This is a good group in the backfield. A lot of athleticism, a lot of speed, and they can send the ball to any part of the field and have success with it.
With 3:27 left to go in the first quarter, CBU up 7-0. And it's a pitch out to the left side for Bose. He's hauling through some people, getting it down to the 42 or so. I think they said Reynolds, but I thought it was that was Bose on the carry. And gain of about 4 there on this left side.
And that's a great play there from Wyatt LaBerge. This Tiger's going to be the left side defensive tackle on that previous play. And he trails Bose the entirety of that run and ends up coming up making the tackle from behind as Bose tries to cut it upfield. Great hustle play from Wyatt LaBerge. The problem is it's 5 yards late and it's second down, maybe 4 yards, second down to about 6 here for the Redhawks.
From the Tigers, 42. And so they drop back and look to hand it off to the right side. A gain of about 3, really just another plunge into that line and see how many yards you can pick up. Nothing fancy right now for the Redhawks, but it is moving them down the field.
This time it's a real good play there. I believe that was Bruce Wright on that far side of the defensive tackle position. They run the option inside, and then they give it to the halfback behind him, and Wright does a great job of, first off, he's able to stand up his defender, and that's going to plug the hole, and so by the time, I believe that was Reynolds coming through, gets there, Bruce Wright's waiting right in the hole for him.
And it's 3rd and 5 here for the Redhawks. 2 running backs in motion. Marshall wants a call, but he's not going to get one. They throw it down the field, and it looked like it might get intercepted by Oakley Gordon, but it fell to the turf.
Now, the flags are down, but here's the thing. 2 men in motion, they're not going to call it a false start. They're going to call it an illegal motion. So that's why I was a little up in arms. I thought it should have been a false start. Would have been a dead ball play. Tigers are able to get lucky, an incompletion downfield, but now CBU shoots themselves in the foot there on 3rd down. Tigers, in all likelihood, will probably accept this penalty, in my opinion. You're looking at, if they decline it, a 4th and 5 from the 40, CBU could go for it, try to start putting the Tigers on a little bit of ice water, but, big down there for the Tigers to be able to hold, and CBU making the mistake of 2 men in motion.
All right, and I thought Marshall might just fall off his perch there, so he got a little histrionic there, but a chance, and really it was kind of a tough play at any number of angles for CBU because they just chucked it up and ducked down the field. Oakley was the only person with a real chance for it. So far, we've seen some nice throws out of Andrew Bortnick in terms of his ability to deliver the ball, but get back, and it's a cold night. Anything could happen.
Well, again, this is an offense that's used to running the spread, so Bortnick, for the last 3 years of his high school career, has run that spread offense and been accustomed to throwing the football downfield. So this is a very capable passing football team. The key is going to be, can they be as effective on the ground? And today they've proven on this drive especially that they are going to have some success now on 3rd and 10.
And 3rd and 10 for the Redhawks, setting up at the 45 of the Tigers. And we're going to have a timeout taken by CBU, who wants to talk this over.
Tiger Football on 92.1, brought to you by Woodware Fine Furniture, Route 7 in Middlebury, and by Desiree Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat, 1232 Exchange Street in Middlebury, with a new drop-off location at Linda's Apparel in Virgins. And this is a big down, considering that the Tigers have had a little trouble on this drive after a very effective opening drive. A little trouble slowing down this running attack for CVU. You got them back against the wall here on 3rd and 10. Problem is, CBU knows how to throw the ball. These are a lot of athletes on the field. Wouldn't be surprised to see a play-action look downfield going after Kingston and Michael, two big guys for the Redhawks, each of them at 6'3 and 6'4. So tall perimeter players for the Redhawks makes that capability of throwing the ball downfield here on 3rd and 10 a very viable option for the Redhawks.
And what opens that up, too, has been the effectiveness of Reynolds and Bose. I mean, they look pretty good to the eye test. Especially, and they've had some times where they've gotten some big holes too, but they've been able to attack the inside with Reynolds and then the outside with Bose pretty effectively so far to start this game.
They are, and they're actually going to bring out the second wide receiver, Jack Dugan. So they're going to go with a 2-wide receiver set for the Redhawks here on 3rd and 10. Wouldn't be surprised to see him air it out. Dugan coming in at 6'1", so the Tigers certainly are going to have a little size disadvantage on the perimeter.
And it is Bornick under center here. Turns and pitches it out to the left side, and they're going with a halfback option pass. down the field, drops out of Dugan's hands, and he was down about the 10-yard line. That was a nicely delivered pass there. It just wasn't able to be brought in off the fingertips, coming in at a pretty low angle, and it fell to the turf. Tigers get away with one there. That was a good-looking play from CBU.
That was a good play, or good toss, like you said, by Braven Bose, but give a lot of credit to Oakley Gordon. He doesn't suck up there on the play action, or excuse me, on the toss out to Bose before he steps and throws. He hangs around with Dugan, runs downfield with him, and is able to get his fingertips on that football to knock that thing away from him and bring up a fourth down, which CBU is going to go for.
CBU going for it, fourth down and 10 to go. Quarterback dropping back, way back, way back, way back. He keeps running, and it's a drop underneath here to the tight end, but he's not going to get enough for it. He's going to get driven it out about the 46. In the long run, he only gained about 5 yards, really, on that play.
And Middlebury, the defensive line, and in any time I ever played high school football here in Vermont, our defensive line was always extremely capable of stopping screen passes. Back to when Austin Canal and Joey Zeno were up front. The moment they sniff out those offensive linemen taking off away and essentially just giving you the cold short and let you run right into the quarterback, they know screen's coming. And again, this is a defensive line that sees that, recognizes that, puts themselves in position, prevents that screen pass from being effective.
And the Tigers take over now. First and 10 from their own 37. Gordon under center, he hands it up the middle to a fullback, running over to the right side. And this was Parker Gross on the carry, looking for the right side, gain of about 3.
This offensive drive for the Tigers, I'd like to see just a very meticulous and drawn-out drive. Give your defense a little break and start putting the Redhawks on their heels. Make this a long 10-play type of drive that the Tigers are capable of before punching in for 6 at the end of it.
Gordon right now, 4 wide receivers and 1 running back. Different look here for the Tigers. Gordon under center, drops back. Look at, but he handed it off the middle. Actually kept it himself and ran forward for about 3 yards straight up the middle.
The design of that play was supposed to be a play action up the middle, and Oakley Gordon was supposed to be able to bootleg it outside to the left side of the offensive line where the wide receivers, like you said, the 2 wide receivers on each side are going to spring free on seam routes and try to open up some space. Defensive end is able to crash down and forces Oakley Gordon up inside, able to salvage 3 yards.
Same setup still with wide receivers to the right and the left, except Kaufman goes in motion to the left. And this time it's a handoff up the middle. Running back still trying. It looks like he might have put it on the turf there.
Looks like he did. Colin Fisher, great carry. Gets about 10, 11 yards there on that one. Ball comes out late, but he's able to fall on top of it. Actually, might have been Chris Greer falling on top of that football. Gives the Tigers the first down. Now they're into CBU territory at the 43-yard line headed in. This is about where the drive fizzled out last time. What do you do differently? We've seen the counter be effective. 2 times it's been called, has gone for 10 yards total. Wouldn't be surprised to see a counter option here. Try to get the ball inside the 30.
And it's 45 seconds left to go in the first quarter with the Tigers trailing by a score of 0-7. Tigers with 2 receivers, and they throw it over to Chase Mester on the near sideline. There was motion by the Redhawks, but they don't look like they called it. Tigers are going to have the 2nd and 10 here as we tick down towards the end of the quarter.
Last week, we saw a lot of those quick slants between Oakley Gordon and Chase Messner on the edge, and that's what they try to hit there. The throw is just a little blow for Chase Messner, unable to come down with it. But we saw a lot of that in Rice last week up in South Burlington, was they try to do those quick slants underneath the secondary, especially with the secondary drawn in. The completion could go for big yards.
And Gordon under center with 1 wide receiver out to the left, and Oakley takes it and hands it off up the middle to the fullback. Kind of a delayed handoff there, but they were able to pick up a nice 6-yard gain there.
And that's a good play. The great read there from Oakley Gordon. And the Redhawks have been doing a pretty good job of slowing down the triple option look for the Tigers until the last 2 plays when Corlin Fisher was able to rumble for about 11 yards. And then that 6-yard gain, I believe that was Parker Gross in the backfield. So the last 2 plays have been effective, but for the most part, CBU's done a good job of slowing down the triple option.
And see if they get one more in before the end of the quarter. And they may. Gordon has the ball, hands it up the middle. Fullback powered forward. Looks like it'll be Gross again. He'll be right about at the 6 as we start the 2nd quarter. And they're not quite ready to call it. One was about to, but looks like they're going to get a measurement. At the end of the 1st quarter, it's 7-0, CBU over Middlebury. You're listening to high school football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Look under your feet. That's concrete. And whether it's at home, on the farm, or in the workplace, concrete makes up foundations, sidewalks, barnyards. There are lots of uses for concrete in Addison County, but there's only one place to get it. J.P. Carrera & Sons. Their state-of-the-art plant, modern fleet of red, white, and blue trucks, and experienced drivers ensure the quality and efficient delivery of your concrete, crushed gravel, wash sand, and stone. Route 116 Middlebury, 388-6361. J.P. Carrera, the name in concrete.
National Bank of Middlebury is there for you 24/7. Buying a home, sending your kids to college, or starting a new business? They're here to make it happen, helping families and businesses achieve their dreams since 1831. With offices in Middlebury, Brandon, Bristol, Hinesburg, and Vergennes, or online at nbmvt.com, or on your mobile phone, anytime, anywhere. Bank real, live real. National Bank of Middlebury. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender. Equal opportunity employer.
High school football is on 92.1 WVTK.
And they gave them the first down. So the Middlebury Tigers are going to have a first and 10 to start the second quarter from the 32 of the CBU Redhawks. And here's where we start running into the press box. So Marshall and I will do our best to give you all of the action. I'm standing on my tippy toes. Marshall's hanging out into space here. We're going to do the best we can. Oakley Gordon under center. He drops back. He hands it off up the middle to fullback. And that was Parker Gross taking the ball. Gain of about 3 as he went over towards that right side.
And Richard Lowry comes in late, puts a big stick there on Corlin Fisher, but a good gain. Again, what we're talking about at the beginning of this draft, like to see just a long, drawn-out drive, and that 4-yard gain is going to kind of set the greenwood for it.
Tigers with 3 running backs. It's Gordon back. He hands it off up the middle again. A gain maybe of about 1 there, and they're going to that fullback early and often here. Gross again with a 1-yard gain.
And this is the most striking difference between the Mike Williams defense and the previous regime under Jim Provost. Jim Provost led a very whole base on defense. So what that means is that the defensive linemen and the linebackers basically have gap responsibility. So your defensive tackle is going to have the A gaps, linebacker is going to have the B gaps, so on and so forth. This is more of a manned-up defense. One guy's going to get the quarterback, one guy gets the fullback, and so on. And that allows them to slow the triple option attack down.
3rd and 5 for the Tigers. Gordon goes back, heads up to Kaufman, and goes dashing up the middle. But that gets dashed backwards pretty quickly after a gain of about 3. It's going to be 4th and 3 for the Tigers at about the 27-yard line.
And that's the polar opposite. Like we've talked about a couple times this season, is back in 2011 we had a drive against CDU where we just ran the same play 5 times in a row because they were playing such gap responsibility that the gap was always open. We're seeing man defense here, and that's preventing the Tigers really on any play now because they're stacking the box and playing man from getting any running game going.
4th and 4 for the Tigers. Oakley Gordon roll it back. He's got a man down the sideline. Did he bring it in? Yes, he does. Beautiful throw and catch there by the Tigers. And I think it was Chase Messner on that touchdown for the Tigers.
And a fantastic pass there from Oakley Gordon. Does a great job selling the play fake inside on the play action. He's going to air it out. Chase Messner does exactly what Kingston did on the CDU Redhawks touchdown. Pinpoints the ball, gets up and above the defender and comes down with it. Fantastic play. I love the play call. You know it's 4th down. You know you haven't been running the ball well. But you also know that CDU is giving you the entire secondary because they're stacking the box so much. Chase Messner does a great job getting behind the defense and a fantastic football thrown there from Oakley Gordon.
Ed Gordon now waiting to put up the extra point. It snaps up. The kick is up. The kick is good, and we're tied up here early in the second quarter. It's the CV Redhawks 7 and the Middlebury Tigers tied it up at 7. It's high school football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Hi, this is John Wallace, graduate gemologist and owner of Autumn Gold in Middlebury, Vermont. Stop in and melt someone's heart. Whether you're looking for fine handcrafted jewelry, a rare gemstone, or an awesome diamond, come in and see what we have to offer. Meet our fun staff of very talented designers and goldsmiths. And remember, we do expert in-house repairs, restorations, and appraisals as well. Autumn Gold, the Earth's most beautiful gifts.
This is Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
The car was because I couldn't just look in the back.
Yeah, no, it's totally true. Fine. And now Chase Messner hauling in a 27-yard pass have tied it up for the Tigers. A beautifully delivered ball by Oakley Gordon and a really nice catch by Messner with a defender in front of him. That was really nice. And the Tigers have tied this thing up. And now Gordon is kicking it away to the Red Hawks. And it bounces off the ground off of Red Hawks' hands. Tigers are in hot pursuit, and he's just going to fall down on top of it. Red Hawks are going to be at their own 18 to start this drive.
Tiger Football on 92.1 brought to you by Foster Motors, home of the We Care People on Route 7 in Middlebury. And honestly, I've got to say, the best part of that touchdown was that it was on the far side of the field, so we're not getting cut off by the press box and able to see how good of a pass that was.
Yeah, so far, this is actually working out okay. Right now, we can see just the line of scrimmage. It's pretty nice.
Well, you know, we don't need to see much more than that, so I guess beggars can't be choosers when you're just trying to watch a football game.
Could use some salsa and chips.
Hey, couldn't we all?
And so here they come, the Red Hawks, looking to get back on the field here, but they're on the board. And they're actually going to drop it right off the bat. On the snap, Andrew Bortnick lays it on the ground. It's going to be a loss of a couple on that play for them.
That was just a botched snap between Bortnick and his center there for the Red Hawks. That's a tough play because you look about on that last drive for CVU, they had a 3rd and 5, and they try to air it out deep. Ends up being an incomplete pass, but the false start penalty moves it back to a 1st and 10, a 3rd and 10, and then they shoot themselves in the foot there on that last drive. And that's a tough start to this drive now. You botched the opening snap, 2nd down and 12. You start backpedaling before you go forward.
And Bortnick going back, hit it off to a running back who goes up the middle there. It's Bose carrying it for a gain of about 3. Gets a couple back plus a couple more. But it's going to be 3rd down and long, about 8 for the Red Hawks.
And that goes to that first play of the drive where you botch the snap, and now you're looking at 2nd and 12, 2nd and 11, you get 3 yards. But still, this is an offense that has proven they can throw the ball, not only tonight, but throughout the season. So it's a very dual-threat offense, especially a dual-threat quarterback in Bortnick. So a 3rd and 8 isn't as daunting as a 3rd and 8 may be to Middlebury, who hasn't proven outside of the last play that they can be an elite passing offense here in the state of Vermont.
And they're set up on their own 22-yard line for this 3rd and 8. And there you go, the quarterback going back. Looking downfield for his man. If he brought that in, Marshall, that was a beautiful catch.
That would have been, and they're going to call it incomplete, and that's a good call, but that would have, I might have called that the best catch of the year here in the state of Vermont for Sam Michael. Full extension at the 50-yard line. Actually gets the ball in his fingertips, but as he goes to pull that in, it just kind of flubs off him as he hits the ground. He's able to wrap it up at that point, but the ball had already hit the ground. But a fantastic ball, too, from Andrew Bortnick. That's about a 30-yard pass on the money, and no one was going to catch that except Michael making an outstanding play. Great pass, and it just shows how elite this offense can be when it's trying to air it out.
And they're getting ready to punch it away from only about their 7-yard line. And the punt is up. It is high. It is not too far. It's going to bounce down at about the 43, but take a pretty nice Red Hawk roll that they're going to stop it at about the Tiger 40, but the Tigers are going to take over. And Marshall, I just have to say, I'd love to hear a little bit from you. That play or those corners keep being open for these passing teams against the Tigers.
They do, and that's one thing that we've talked about on multiple occasions. Colchester hit over the top time and time again and could have had a lot more scores in what ended up being a come-from-behind victory for the Tigers. This is not a secondary that has proven they can be as elite as this run defense is. And that worries me because when you get to the postseason, you're going to run into some passing teams or at least teams capable of throwing the ball, and you haven't proven you can slow it down.
The Middlebury Tigers come out looking to add to, to put something on as they're tied. And so Gordon hands it up the middle to fullback, crashing forward for about 3. That's going to be carried by, looks like that was probably Cortland Fisher. Yes, it was. Gain of about 3 on that carry.
And, we're not going to get too much into QPR, but the capability that the Tigers could face and the possibility of the teams they could face is Colchester and Essex are two very potential teams that they get a win here they could face in the first round. And both those teams threw the ball very effectively against this secondary. It would be an interesting matchup if that were to be the case.
Tigers with 2 standing up tight ends and 3 running backs. And Gordon pitches it out to Demo over on that far side, gain of about 2, and gets dragged down. Actually, I think that was Honchel.
And Tigers haven't really proven they can run the ball, and I think that goes on both sides of the field here. Both run defenses have played outstanding. The passing games have been what's been effective for each team, and at sometimes the almost effectiveness of the passing game, where teams have just each side has just missed on a couple wide open men. Both running attacks have been stymied through this point of the game.
Tigers 3rd and 6 from their own 45. And they have Nemo coming motion from left to right. But Gordon scored back. He's thrown it way downfield, but really not open to anyone. He threw it about 30 yards or so, and no one was there to catch it. So the Tigers, it's going to be fourth down.
And again, they go to that counterplay action, which they had two touchdown connections between Oakley Gordon and Sawyer Ryan last week at Rice. But again, Oakley Gordon has no time to set his feet in the backfield because the defensive fronts are getting into his face so quickly that he's not able to set his feet and make the throw because, again, he had Sawyer Ryan open downfield.
And ready to punt it away. Here is Gordon calling for it. He's at about the Tiger 32. The snap is up. The punt is up. It looks pretty good. It's going to bounce at about the 30 and keep rolling down. No team feels like returning it tonight. It's going to be coming back from the 25.
As the Tiger defense takes the field, high school football on 92.1, brought to you by Fourth and Goal. Everything for the rink, court, pool, field, and diamond on 68 Main Street in Middlebury. And by Mike's Fuels for all your home, business, and agricultural needs. Route 22A in Bridport. At this point in the game, we haven't seen either team being able to punt the ball, kick the ball above these, construction lights that have been stationed on the sidelines. So at this point, it doesn't seem like the lights are going to play a big role in losing the ball above them. And neither team is throwing the ball high enough. And certainly on that last nearly great catch from Sam Michael, doesn't seem the passing game has been affected by it either.
7:20 left to go in the second quarter. The game is tied 7-7, Middlebury and CVU. And quarterback under center turns, looks to hand it up the middle to the running back. And no gain there up the middle for Richard Lowry the third.
And it looked like, again, there might have been a little, miscommunication, but poor handling of the snap. It looked like Bornick was kind of fumbling with that before he got that to Lowry inside that. And if so, that could have been a big reason why there was no room to run as the play gets kind of delayed. As plays inside and counter plays, especially, are timing-based. So you get that step, and by the time you're coming back, the offense driving that should have crossed your face and opened up that hole. And when you botch a snap like that, you slow that timing down, and those holes aren't going to be open when they're supposed to be.
Werdick under center, he's dropping back, looking downfield. He gets taken down quickly, slammed from behind there by thinking it was Bruce Wright. I need to make sure here. A little tough out there. Hard to see that number. It might have been Brady LaRocque, actually. But wonderful job as he went back and looked downfield. Bornick looking to take advantage of those receivers again. Just absolutely slammed.
And a great play. Now, they were looking again to this side. It looked like that was going to be Sam Michael. Great coverage there from Nick Coe. He's running in his pocket 15, 20 yards downfield. That's going to be the key now for the Tiger secondary.
And that sack was by LaRocque. And now the running back working over to the right side here, trying to get something. And he got back a few towards, but he's still 5 yards away from that original line of scrimmage. It's going to be fourth down and a mile for the Redhawks. They're going to be kicking it away.
And again, both rush defenses have been elite right now for both CVU and Middlebury. Nothing inside for either team, and that's kind of what we expected coming in, at least from the Middlebury side of things. But now CVU stepping up to the task and getting used to playing that triple option in practice is certainly paying a dividend here on the football field Friday night.
The Tigers are waiting for the punt at about the 50-yard line. And there it goes. That's a long one. That's going to go over their heads. Oakley Gordon dropping back. And he does pick it up at about his own 35, and he's returning it on the far sideline. He's got some space, and he gets wrapped up around the head, but keeps going, charges up to about the 50. Tigers are going to take it over at midfield here, looking to add to the score. Right now it's 7-7. Both teams tied with 5:15 left to go in the first quarter.
A couple of things that I've seen here on the special teams I'm not overly excited about on the Middlebury side of things is, one, when they're going into the backfield, if the blitzers for Middlebury would lay out a little bit, they might have a capability of blocking a punt like CBU did. And then on the returning side of things, a little hesitancy here from the Tiger return men to just kind of wait and let that thing bounce and take it with us. Have some aggressiveness. Take that football in the air. Run the option in the backfield and see what you can't do with it.
Tigers is one wide receiver on the left, three running backs in the backfield. Gordon goes back, hands it to the back. Now Ali, who goes to the right side. Nice big hole. Cuts back towards the inside. He gains 15 on that pickup.
And it's a great 15-yard pickup for Ali Abdul-Sader. But again, what we saw a lot of in Rice last week was a lot of cutting back into the field.
Yep.
And he doesn't just take that edge. Just try to beat your man. Don't keep juking and making moves. I've made those mistakes plenty of times. I've seen big old hefties come up and knock me senseless as I try to come back in. Keep that ball to the outside. Get to the perimeter. Get to the sideline. Try to beat your man up it. Don't try to cut back in, because that's where the other 11 defenders for CBU are waiting for you.
funny that you say that. I was thinking to myself, as he did it, that that's basically what he does every time he gets to that outside. And it's first to 10 from the Tigers from the 35 of CBU. This time it's a handoff up the middle. It's Fisher plowing a nice big hole by the offensive line on the right side. Fisher picking up 5 on that first down run.
And really what that's a result of is if you're just trying to do too much with that, with the football at that point, you've got 15 yards, and basically, you know, you're not, you want to go all in, and that's what he's trying to do. If this was a poker game, he's trying to go all in. Just take the win for that hand. You don't need every chip at that point. Take the win. Get to the sideline. See how much more you can get. Don't try to break it free for a big one.
Tigers with second and about 5 from the 30. And Gordon's dropping back. He's got a wide open man. Messer streaking down the middle of the field. Getting brought down at about the 10-yard line.
And again, this is what we were talking about a little earlier. The Tigers were hitting last week a lot on that slant route against Rice. And CBU's defense is in a position where when Chase Messner catches that football, if he breaks the tackle from the cornerback, there is no safety over the middle to slow him down. That's why that game goes for so much, because Messner has no one in front of him to slow him down.
Messner's on the left, 3 running backs to the right. And this time it's going to be Fisher working that right side of the line again. And he's gaining 5 yards a pop right now.
And that's going to bring up, looks like from my angle, 2nd and 5 going in, 2nd and goal to go. And this has been a much better offense. You look at those big gains, a great passing play, and then the power kick to Ali Abdul-Sader that got him 15 to the right side of the field. This offense is starting to come together, starting to find this groove. And if that happens, the way this defense has been playing, CBU could be in trouble.
3:20 left to go in the first quarter. Tigers work it out towards the CBU end zone. Gordon under center, and he turns, and he is going to hand it off up the middle as the fullback plows forward for a few more yards. It's going to be 3rd down and goal from about the 4.
And this is, in all likelihood, 4-down territory for the Tigers. You know, you don't get the touchdown, then you put the Redhawks in backs against the wall scenario. So we'll see. This is 4-down territory. A lot of success with the counter at this point. Something that we've seen a lot of all season has been how effective the counter has been, and tonight has been no different. Wouldn't be surprised if they try to go with a counter here, maybe to the far side of the field where the wide receiver is Chase Messner split out wide to the right.
And it's Gordon under center, and he turns and hands it off to Kaufman, going from the right to the left. He's going to walk in basically untouched. It's a touchdown for Trey Kaufman.
And that was the counter play. They run it to a T again very effectively. CBU was able to spread it out a little bit, but the Tigers are able to get to the perimeter and get in for 6. And I believe I was just listening to the CBU fan section chanting, "I believe that we will win." I'm not sure if they're as colorblind as I am, but that's a touchdown for the Tigers and a good offensive drive. Great play. Use the counter and the long run from Ali Abdul-Sader as well as a slant pass. Very diverse offense. Tigers starting to click.
And it is Gordon set up for the extra point here. The snap is coming. And a little delayed. Yeah, snap is up. The hold is down. The kick is blocked. So the Tigers are going to be ahead by 6. It's 13-7. Middlebury Tigers over the CBU Redhawks. You're listening to high school football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Dilla Motorsports celebrates victory motorcycles with high performance. Exhilarating experiences every week in the month of October. Visit Dilla Motorsports to learn more and get up to a $1,400 rebate on off-road vehicles.
Dilla Motorsports.
Up to $2,000 rebate on victory. And a 5-year factory warranty on all remaining in-stock 2015 models. With rates as low as 2.99%.
Certain restrictions and exclusions apply. See dealer for details. Always wear a helmet. Never ride under the influence.
Dilla Motorsports. 7 Dilla Drive, Plattsburgh.
DillaMotorsports.net.
You're listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
With a little over 2 minutes left to go in the first half here in Week 8, the final regular season game with the Middlebury Tigers taking on the CBU Redhawks. The Tigers have just got ahead of the Redhawks by a score of 13-7 on the strength of a Trey Kaufman 3-yard touchdown run. And the Tigers are ready to tee it off here. And 2 long plays in that drive, and the Tigers are able to get ahead on the board for the first time tonight. And the kick is down, bouncing at about the 15, being returned up the middle. Big hole there for a Red Hawk returner. Gets across to about the 44. That was an awfully nice run there by Brandon Young. and that was set up a great hole for Young to run through, and he's going to hit that seam really good. And this is the effectiveness as he limps off the field. Young does what the Tigers do. They run the reverse option, and what every other team, essentially the state, does is basically the return man gets it, and they're going to either go to the left, the right, or the middle. And that was set up to go to the middle, and basically they're just going to blop and try to find a seam. Young's able to find the seam and gets up to the 44. Great field position now for the Red Hawks offense.
And for the Red Hawks, they're handing it off to the left side. Bouncing off the defenders is the big fullback, Richard Lowry III. Gains about two there, but a hard-earned run by the young man.
And Lowry really hasn't had a lot of success in the interior of this Tiger defense. Wyatt LaBerge, Nick Beauchamp, and Bruce Wright have done a fantastic job of clogging the middle and preventing Lowry, who's had some big games this season, from having any success moving the ball downfield consistently, as the Redhawks have had to try to go to a lot of different looks and not one look consistently to get yards.
Right now, kind of a wishbone with two wide receivers here for the Redhawks. The quarterback rolling out to his right, gets swallowed up by some Tigers, just kind of chucks it out on the right side to Brad Reynolds. But Bordnick was under heavy pressure by a gang of Tigers on that one.
And the Tigers do a great job. They go to the cover two look. So they're going to have two safeties deep over the top covering half the field. And then underneath, they're going to have the two linebackers in the middle of the field. And then both cornerbacks are going to play the flats. And so a great job from Nick Coe. He sees Sam Michael streaking downfield. He's going to let him run off to Jack Honchel. And they almost baited Bordnick into the throw over the top. Jack Honchel would have been there waiting. And, Nick Coe's able to step up into the flats and really shut down any underneath receiver that could be an open.
Bordnick has Big Kingston over here on the right side, but he instead throws to the left side as he drops back. Absolutely nothing doing there. And for right now, the Redhawks, who had looked so good on offense early, looks like the wheels are coming off the wagon here. They're going to be punting this thing away from about the 47-yard line of the Redhawks.
And the Redhawks really have had one great offensive drive. That was a drive that started about their own 20-yard line and made it to about the Tiger 40 before they failed on 4th and 10. The one touchdown they got again was set up by that blocked punt, so the Tigers have done a great job of stifling this CBU offense. Now your offense, Middlebury's offense, a chance to get the football back and a lot of confidence.
And here they are getting ready to punt. They're going to be punting it away from about their own 31-yard line or so. Tigers are waiting for it about the 20. And it's a decent punt, bouncing around. It's going to hit at about the 30, bounce towards the 20, keep bouncing. Tigers are going to let it do so, and it's going to stop at around the 16, where the Tigers are going to take over with 1:32 left to go in the first half, and the Tigers leading by 6 points, 13-7.
High school football on 92.1 WVTK, brought to you by J.P. Carrera Sons Concrete, always ready to mix, and they guarantee a solid finish. Call them at 388-6363, and by Della Motorsports in Plattsburgh, making your buying experience a pleasant one.
So, Tigers here with not a lot of time on the clock, about a minute and a half, and about 85 yards to go. See what they do here. Gordon's under center, just three running backs. And it is Nemo running up the middle, shirting forward for a gain of about 4.
And interesting, I wouldn't be surprised to see a play-action pass here. The Tigers, again, the Redhawks defense, is shuffling up. They're stacking the box with about 9 men in the box, and the 2 men are just on the outside, no one more than 5 yards downfield. Even here late in the first half, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Tigers try to go deep over the top, strike big, and if you don't, you take the incomplete, you're running on third down, and you just kind of bite the bullet, you take a 6-point lead at the half.
And remember, Tigers will be getting it here to start the second half. Gordon under center, just 3 running backs. He's got Nemo in motion from the right to the left and hands it off to him. And he goes turning forward again, 4 yards, which really at this part of the field with about a minute left isn't going to get you that much.
No, you can tell this Tiger offense is pretty complacent. They're all right. They're accepting of taking that 6-point lead into the break here. You got third down. This will be the, obviously being next down being fourth, this will be the last chance to throw it over the top. Wouldn't be a bad position, but I would expect this team to just kind of put it on the ground, run the ball, run out the clock, take the 6-point lead into the half. You haven't played flawless. You've been playing good enough on the defensive side of the ball to have the lead. Your offense hasn't been that effective. You'll take a 6-point lead when you can have one.
And for the Tigers now, third down, it has a little bit of motion here on that third down play. Timeout taken by Middlebury. Marshall, what's the logic here? We have almost no time left in the half.
It looked like the play clock was running down. It was at 2 seconds, and so Dennis Smith looked like he just didn't want the play to take that 5-yard penalty to stop the clock on its own, and then you would have been looking at a 3rd and 9 here. At least here you get a first down. CBU won't take a timeout to make you punt it and get one last play in.
So you take the timeout, you get a third and four, you go back at it, you try to get a first, you pick up the first, CBU's not going to stop the clock and force you to punt. If you don't get a first down here, I wouldn't be surprised to see Mike Williams burn a timeout, try to get a punt, get decent field position. You've been able to throw the ball over the top against this Tiger defense for the most part. You might try to get one play if they have the time for it, but that's the reason for that timeout. Play clock's running down, and you don't want to make it third and nine for your offense.
And while they're out there, Marshall, we have a nice surprise. Matt Ottinger, who teaches at the high school, his son Harvey played linebacker here for the CBU Redhawks. Just stopped by for with hamburgers and Diet Cokes for us.
What a time. Thank you very much, Mr. Ray. Appreciate it very much.
And so the Tigers, as you say, it's going to be third and about six for them with about 18 seconds left on the clock. It's Gordon rolling back, hands it off to Devo again. Big hole on the right side. He's headed downfield. He's dropping people behind him. He's going to get driven out, but not until he has gained about 25 yards or so on that run.
And that's a big play that basically serves the purpose of a long pass as well. And Jay Nemo has that capability, very quick runner. The Tasmanian Devil able to get to the edge and runs with that reckless abandon, gets a big gain. But now with time running out and Tigers not stopping the clock, could be just them ready to take it to the half regardless.
First and 10 from the 47 of CVU here. And the Tigers had two people in motion. Yeah, that was going to call that for sure. They've got a man streaking down that right sideline. It's not going to be complete anyway, but it would have been coming back no matter what.
They are actually going to rule that a completion, but like you said, that's going to come back because of the illegal motion on the Tiger offense. It looked like Fisher fell forward a little bit before the snap as the man was, Ali Abdel-Sader going back to motion. And that's backbreaking because that would have given the Tigers the ball at the 18-yard line heading in. A great pass there from Oakley Gordon, but a penalty is going to shoot him in the foot and make this thing all the way back to their own 48-yard line rather than the CBU 18.
As I transitioned to my view in the press box, I thought I'd see it bounce, but what a catch. That was a really nice catch there. But either way, for the Tigers here, they're set up on their own 48 with 3 seconds left to go in the half. Let's see what they try to do with it. And it is Gordon dropping way back. He's looking downfield. The ball just kind of spirals out of his hand. It gets intercepted at the 48. Looks like it just slipped out.
It did. That one looked like just a slick ball. I'm assuming we talked about this in the pregame. A little bit of rain had come down prior to the opening kickoff. So maybe the ball was a little wet. Slips out of his hand. Interception doesn't look great on the stat sheet, but certainly no damage done from it. Tigers will be happy with a 13-7 lead here at the half, considering their offense hasn't been that great. Their defense has bailed them out in multiple situations.
Well, and as you say, it is 13-7 with the Middlebury Tigers leading the CBU Redhawks here on Friday Night Lights in Hinesburg. We're going to step aside. We'll be back with the Mike Spuels Halftime Show right after this. It's high school football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Houston's Farm Supply of Bridport carries the high-pressure cleaning equipment that gets the job done right. Let them show you the Hotzi hot and cold pressure washers, available in electrical, all voltages, and gas or diesel propane. Houston's Farm Supply is a full-service dealer carrying all parts and accessories, plus a full line of detergents from 5-gallon pails to 55-gallon drums. When it comes to high-power pressure washers, you'll find the best, Hotzi, at Houston's Farm Supply on the Crown Point Road in Bridport.
My grandfather once said, "People who care build something that people care about. It's not an easy process, let me tell you. But if you take it one brick at a time, the result can be outstanding." Hey, everybody, it's Alan Buzz Busby from Poulin Auto Sales and Service. And my grandfather was right. You've got to build something that people care about, or it's not even worth it. Over the past year, we've gone through a lot of changes. We've restructured. We're listening to you. We're working with folks, making good deals, good honest deals, changing lives. It's a process, and it definitely takes time. At Poulin Auto Sales and Service, we're building something great, something that our customers care about, and we're inviting you to share in our success. So buy your next pre-owned car or truck at Poulin Auto Sales and Service on Shelburne Road in South Burlington or Eastbury Road in Barrie. Change really is good. Poulin Auto Sales and Service, changing the way you feel about buying a car.
There's a beautiful furniture store in Middlebury that you have to check out. It's Woodware Fine Furniture. They have dining and living room sets in gorgeous woods like cherry, maple, and oak, chairs, sofas, bedding, and great varieties of all. Or if you don't see it there, just ask Drew and he can probably get it for you. Woodware also provides shipping and delivery.
You've probably seen the Woodware truck. It's everywhere. Woodware Fine Furniture. Handmade, woodcrafts, toys, and fine furniture for 30 years. Woodware, Route 7 South, Middlebury.
This is Tiger Football on Addison County's WVTK, Port Henry, Bridport, Middlebury, 92.1 WVTK. Now back to the field for more Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
And welcome to the Mike Spules Halftime Show on 92.1 WVTK. We're up in Hinesburg. The Friday night lights are blazing. The temperature, Marshall, is starting to drop. My nose just started feeling cold in the last minute or so. And the Middlebury Tigers are ahead of the CVU Redhawks by a score of 13-7. And here's Marshall with a rundown of how we got to that point so far in this game.
CVU kicked off the scoring at 2:34 of the first quarter when Jordan Botnick connection to Kingston from 7 yards out after a blocked punt gave the Redhawks the ball at the 10-yard line. CVU punched in on a fade route there on third down and 7. That made it 7-0. Middlebury would answer as Oakley Gordon connected with Chase Messner on a 27-yard touchdown pass with 10:20 to go in the first half. The opening drive for the Tigers of the second quarter made it 7-7. Trey Kaufman would punch in a 4-yard touchdown run. The extra point would be no good with 2:32 left in the first half to make it 13-7. That was set up by a nice long reception by Chase Messner and about a 15-yard run from Ali Abdul-Sader that put the ball for the Tigers inside the red zone and ended up inside the 5 for the touchdown. But a good offensive production for the Tigers in the second quarter. The first quarter, they stumbled quite a bit. But we saw on that opening touchdown drive of the second quarter, they started to see the ball a lot better. The passing game started to come together a little bit. And then, you know, the counters continue to hit. That's something we talked about last week in Rice and really throughout the season has been how effective these counter options have been for the Tigers. And that 4-yard touchdown run from Trey Cobb kind of is the emphasis on that. When the Tigers run the counter effectively, this is a tough offense to beat. And tonight, if they continue to do that in the second half, it's going to be a tough team to slow down right now for the Redhawks.
Right, so if you're the Tigers, you're probably saying, okay, hey, it's coming together. It's starting to work. Let's do what we do, and we're in good position. Everybody should feel confident.
Yeah.
So tell me, Coach Hastings, you are the Redhawks, and the touchdown you have has been a result of that one play at the beginning, but you've had some moments that look pretty good. You've been able to go up the middle. You've been able to throw towards those corners. What are you telling your guys going into the second half?
Well, I'm saying that we're not doing a great job on the offensive line. I think that they aren't really opening up the holes that this three-headed monster in the backfield is capable of doing. The triple option isn't there at all. And give credit to Tiger defensive front, Wyla Burge, Bruce Wright, and Nick Beauchamp. They're doing a fantastic job. Even when they're getting blocked, and they're staying in the hole. They're not allowing themselves to be opened up, and that's preventing CVU from getting anything going inside. So we got to do a little better on the offensive side. Offensive line, we got to create some running room for our backs, because on the half a drive that the Redhawks put together, they started at the 20, made it to about the Tiger 40 before fizzled out on a false start there on 3rd and 5, was we were able to get the ball inside. We were able to get Bowes and Reynolds going, and we need to do more of that. If we can open up these holes, we're going to have some success. We proved we could throw the ball, at least, you know, get open. We just haven't connected on them. That's going to be the next step. But right now, offensive line has got to do a better job creating some distance and pushing this defensive line of Middlebury downfield and opening up some holes.
And do you think, surprised they ever got to that passing more? Do you think they need, I mean, does it have to be play action in order to get this to work?
It doesn't.
Kind of problem.
I mean, the success they had on that one completion they had for 6 points was they could take advantage of the fade route. And Middlebury, like we've talked about, has had a little trouble with the passing attack, both underneath and over the top. They have the height advantage, CVU does, so I wouldn't be surprised to see more of it. I just think that they aren't really, they're getting into these down and distance situations that aren't really all that effective for them, and that's why they're not having success. They're kind of forcing themselves into passing down. Middlebury's able to sit back a little bit more than they would normally on first or second. Maybe more first down pass plays. Try to get something big. Put Middlebury back on their heels in the second half.
All right, some wisdom there from Coach Hastings, certainly for both Middlebury and CVU as we go towards the second half and work our way along in the Mike Spules Halftime Report. We're going to step aside, and when we come back, we're going to be joined by our friend Austin Danforth from the Burlington Free Press. He's going to give us some perspective on all the things going on around the state. It's a Mike Spules Halftime Show, and you're listening to high school football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
The A. Johnson Company in Bristol has been a family-owned business since 1906. They supply woodworkers and do-it-yourself remodeling projects with locally and sustainably harvested timber. Visit their retail store and friendly staff on Route 116 in Bristol and see their wide selection of softwood and hardwood lumber, including paneling, flooring, and choose from planed or rough. The A. Johnson Company also sells kiln-dried firewood. Make the A. Johnson Company your one-stop for all your lumber needs, or call 453-4884. That's 453-4884. Vermont Shade and Blind is your local choice for custom window treatments. They provide a full range of interior and exterior window treatments for your home or office. They offer free in-home consultations and free estimates. Their office is located in the historic Marble Works District in downtown Middlebury. Visit them at VermontShadeAndBlind.com or call 247-3883. Now you can make your windows beautiful inside and out with Vermont Shade and Blind in the Marble Works in Middlebury. That's online at VermontShadeAndBlind.com. Or call 247-3883.
How many times have you really felt good about the financial institution you deal with? The people who use all the varied services of One Credit Union on Green Street in Vergennes do. It might be because One Credit Union is known for their unmatched personal service. This service is provided by people you like to work with, not by people you have to work with. Low-fee banking services provided by people you like. It all adds up to One Credit Union. If your bank doesn't add up to that, it's time for a change. One Credit Union, Green Street, Vergennes. One Credit Union, federally insured by the NCUA.
Addison County Commission Sales is a locally owned and operated livestock auction service. The Wisnowski family has been serving Addison County farmers and surrounding area for over 65 years. Livestock sales are held every Monday and Thursday, starting at 3 p.m. Livestock trucking, free herd appraisals, and dairy replacement are also available upon request. Addison County Commission Sales. Visit them on Route 125 in East Middlebury. For more details, go to accscattle.com.
This is Middlebury Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
Well, if the old joke, I went to a fight at a hockey game broke out, holds true here. We went to a halftime show and a dance party broke out. Austin, looking out there, they've got some lights, they got some music. But we've got here a special guest and always happy to have him, Austin Danforth from the Pre-Press. And first of all, welcome, Austin.
Thanks.
And first of all, perspective on tonight's game so far.
Yeah, I think everybody was a little stunned to see someone get on the scoreboard the way they did. Block punt, turn that into three plays later, 7 points on the scoreboard. The way Middlebury responded, I don't think that's that much of a surprise.
Sure.
Maybe airing it out the way they did is a little surprising, but I figured it would be a good game, close game, and that's exactly where we are.
And I have to say, you know, CBU, for a team that has been, you know, kind of working into this offense a little bit, seems like they've been doing it a while. I mean, they're doing it pretty effectively. The defense is playing strong against the Tigers runners. The offense looks like a couple running backs are doing a nice job hitting holes up the middle. And CBU, maybe they could work that passing attack a little more.
Yeah, I was off last Friday night. No, I wasn't. I was off Saturday. So I didn't catch the details from the MAU game when MAU came up here and won. I didn't realize CBU had gone to the air that much until a couple days ago. I saw them 2 weeks back at Colchester, and it was very much run heavy. I mean, with strategic passing sure. here and there. So to see them try and open it up the way they have, score on the passing play, that was impressive. But I think both sides passing the way they have has caught me a little off guard.
So it's always great to have, you know, somebody who's paying close attention to Chittenden County things. You know, I think for us in the Middlebury area, we're paying a lot of attention to Middlebury, Hartford, and Rutland. For us, I think that for us is the most relevant story that we talk about a lot. But what's really maybe more interesting for the state as a whole and probably to your readership in general is the fact that there's a lot of teams really close together coming into tonight.
Yeah.
You know, what happens in some games really is going to affect the playoffs a lot. What's interesting for you this weekend as you look at it?
I mean, no one's locked into anything. I mean, depending on how it goes,
sure,
a bunch of people could be in a bunch of different spots. The Rutland-Hartford game that you guys are so interested in, as is almost everybody else, Hartford opened up 20 unanswered points.
Well,
then Rutland fired back with 20 of their own, so it's 20-20 late in the first half. That looks like it's a coin flip. But yeah, you go elsewhere. BSA almost stunned Rutland at Rutland a couple weeks ago. They're hosting a Colchester team that's been reeling a little bit the last few weeks. Colchester's leading at BFA. You got Essex. They might be able to sneak into the playoffs with, they're ahead 30-0 right now over South Burlington. If things go their way with other games, they could sneak into that last spot. It's really interesting. I mean, you got those top three, sort of the middle three, and then the bottom four or five below them. Anybody could lay it anywhere, and it's really cool.
And it's interesting, too, because they are teams that have real options at different positions. I mean, you know, from a Middlebury perspective, Colchester was by far the most dangerous game. I mean, by rights, Colchester should have been up 35-0 on Middlebury at one point if it hadn't been a couple drops. And then Brattleboro, I mean, you know, Chek Tukite is somebody I talk a fair amount just having seen him this year and just saying, wow, you know, that's the kind of player that could win a game on their own in a way if they had to. A Contois kind of guy, a Devarney kind of guy, you know, some of the players we've seen over the years that could just go out and then win a game, or Robinson, those types of players. So it's really kind of fascinating to see, you know, what they're going to do. And just in general kind of Chittenden County perspective, what are some of the interesting stories that you've been looking at in other places?
Football. Aside from football, here earlier today, CBU boys soccer team locked up the number one seed in Division One, I believe. They finished the regular season 13-1. But there's a lot of teams right behind them. I mean, Rice is in the thick of it. They're probably going to be the two or the three seed. Essex has had a really good season. They've taken CDU to overtime twice. In girls soccer, it looks like Burton's wrapped up the top seed in Division One, and then behind them tomorrow here in Hinesburg, we have Colchester coming to town to play CDU. Colchester's unbeaten. They've already got the best record in program history as far as regular season action with 13 wins. But beating CBU is never easy, a given, or anything you really sort of forecast. So I'll be swinging by here to catch some of that tomorrow. CBU comes in with just the one loss. They're 11-1. The winner of that game will become the two seed, and in all likelihood host the other if everybody makes it to the semis.
And, of course, you know, question about that with soccer, and I know soccer is a sport you enjoy, it's something you follow pretty closely, is, you know, CVU, you know, with so many people going to the school, I mean, they and Essex is the two biggest high schools in the state, really, but soccer is something they obviously just excel at. You know, Middlebury, for very, very often, and I love soccer dearly, I grew up playing it, but Middlebury, very often, if you're an athlete, people say, hey, are you playing football?
Yeah.
CVU, does soccer tradition, does that penetrate affect the other sports, do you feel like, in your office?
I think lately, no. I think we've seen the growth with the football program here. I think they attract different athletes.
Yep.
I don't think you're going to see a 6'6", 250-pound guy playing too much soccer as he's growing up, if he's that big, for a while. And on the girls' side, you have the field hockey team's been very competitive for a while. So I think maybe kids get siphoned off of soccer to go play field hockey unless they grow up with the sport. But it being the biggest school and having the resources that CVU has, they're able to make a lot of sports work. You also have the cross-country programs in the fall are among the state's best. The girls are the cream of the crop for the last 15 years. So it's a lot of good athletes and a lot of quality programs, a lot of quality coaches here.
So they've got the human resources to make it work on any level. So turn it back to football for the last question here. As we go into the playoffs, you know, anything in particular that you'll be watching for or interested in?
I think if we can look ahead to 2 weeks.
Sure. They're allowed to do that. They're not allowed to, but we are.
Whatever that 2-3 matchup is going to be and wherever that's going to be, that's going to be a fun one.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, you never, like, if say, Rutland ends up with the one seed, they've been tested. Hartford's been in some close games. So I think it could go a lot of different ways. It's not like the last couple of years or even the couple of years before that where it's like, okay, we got one team that's probably definitely going to be in the final.
Right. Well, just to give you some perspective, it's something to think about just because I was looking over the points today, is that Middlebury, as much as they're not scoring as much as they did last year, they're allowing, their difference in allowed points per game is only about 2 points per game.
Wow.
They're only allowing 10.7 points per game this season. They allowed 8.9 last year. And actually, if you consider the fact that, you know, I mean, last year there were some times where there was a little garbage time scoring. But that's kind of interesting to look at. Well, thank you very much,
Austin. You got it.
We're going to step aside, and we'll be back for the kickoff here. That snuck up on us faster than I thought it would. We'll be back on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Desiberry Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat is located at 1232 Exchange Street, Middlebury. Our dry cleaning department is open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday and 9 to 3 on Saturday for all your dry cleaning needs. We offer wash, dry, fold, shirt service, bulk grade dry cleaning, wedding gowns, rugs, Uggs, bedding, and alterations. The laundromat's open 7 days a week, 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. For our customers, there's free Wi-Fi available as well as a TV room. We have single load washers, up to 60-pound washers, and 30-pound to 75-pound dryers. Use our drop-off locations at Linda's Apparel in Vergennes and the Enchanted Closet in Bristol. Desabray on Exchange Street in Middlebury.
Middlebury Snow Bowl's season pass sale is going on now. And with the money you save, you could actually get a birthday card for your mom this year.
Hey, get your card.
Oh, my birthday's not until May.
Oops.
You could finally get that long overdue oil change for your car and host dinner parties for your friends, even if it's just the cool ones. Either way, save now by purchasing your Middlebury Snow Bowl season pass before November 30th. And with your pass, you'll get access to over 500 acres of terrain, including 17 trails, 8 glades, and hundreds of acres of wooded skiing and riding, easily accessed directly from a lift. And continued free use of their Sun Kid conveyor. Middlebury Snowball, right on the mountain, Route 125 Hancock, and at MiddleburySnowball.com.
Now back to Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
And it's the beginning of the second half here at Hinesburg as the Tigers have the ball. And on their first play of the second half, they're handing it off to Ali Abdul-Sater, who's going to lose. He'll blow out four on that first down run. And it was wonderful to have Austin on the halftime show. The Mike Spuels halftime show. Mike Spuels, it was brought to you by Mike Spuels and Bridport, serving Addison County and parts of Rutland County. And Mike Spuels are always rooting for the Tigers. They're your complete fuel dealer with a full line of fuels, including propane, off-road and on-road, gasoline, diesel, and fuel oil. Mike Spuels also offers 24/7 emergency burner service. When it's time for fuel, call them at 758-3835 or 247-9500. Mike Spuels, Route 22A in Bridport. And the Tigers this time handed off up the middle. Trey Coffin burst through a hole, and now he's banging off people. They stick him up, and the ball has been fumbled. It came loose, taken by the Redhawks, returned back the other way. They're going to have it at about the 25 of the Tigers. That was quite a reversal fortune, Marshall.
Absolutely. So Trey Coffin's going to take that thing up the middle. He's got about a 10-yard gain, and the ball is literally stripped right into the hands of, I believe, that's going to be number 24, Nick Kinniston, for the CBU Redhawks, and he's going to take the ball way down. Now, Dennis Smith is wondering, was his forward progress ended? Now, if his forward progress has been stopped, then the play is dead. The football, you know, full progress, if you start moving backwards, full progress has been done, that's the end of the play. That's what Dennis Smith is arguing. That's what they're trying to talk about right now as they come up with a decision. But like you said, that terrible change of fortune, this goes to CVU because now it goes from Middlebury football at the 44-yard line and a third and four to CVU football at about the 30-yard line headed in, and they are going to give it to CVU.
Now, there really shouldn't be a debate in the sense that although we have obviously no replay, the officials should know whether or not they blew the whistle. Forward progress at high school level is really going to be determined by at what point the official has blown the play dead. Right, Marshall?
And true, that's at every level, because you cannot, even if this were the NFL, we had the opportunity to look at a replay, you can't say, okay, forward progress, stop there. It's when the play is blown dead. Now, you can certainly make an argument when he starts getting blocked back 5 yards, then the play could be blown dead. But you cannot review something when the play hasn't been blown dead. You can't review forward progress. So even if you had that luxury, that's the right call to stick with this decision. The thing is, though, is now they're going to rule him down at the 44. CVU is going to take the ball to 44 rather than 30. So that is the only positive you can pull from this if you're the Tigers.
And it is first and 10 for the Redhawks, for the Tigers 44. And it is a run up the middle, immediately stopped there. Up the middle, as that was number 28, Reynolds carried it up the middle there for no gain.
And that looks like that was
looks like that was Chris Greer coming from the linebacker position to make the stick. And this has been what the Tigers have done all day today. They have prevented anything going inside, whether it be Lowry, whether it be Reynolds or Bose up inside. This big, hefty front for the Tigers defense has been outstanding, and they have prevented anything interior. Some exterior plays have been working for CBU, but nothing inside.
Second and 8 for the Red Fox. It's a pitch over to Reynolds, coming over to this near sideline. Finds a little bit of a hole after being driven back. Only gains about 3 on that second down run.
And Bruce Wright had Reynolds in the backfield, and his stiff arm was able to free him up, and they end up getting 2 yards, and Bruce Wright's a little upset himself. But you got to look at the positive of this. What he does is he forces Reynolds to the outside, and by the time Reynolds gets free of Wright and is able to start taking that football upfield, there's nowhere for him to go because the rest of the Tigers have all kind of formed in and followed in behind him. So although Bruce Wright doesn't get credit for the tackle, extending the play ends up getting only a 1 yard gain for CBU.
And the quarterback under center running back, and he's looking downfield for a target, and he's able to get one on this near sideline. That's Lowry getting up to about the 30, about the 29 of the Tigers. So it's going to be first down for the Redhawks. Things weren't looking good for them, but now they're moving. They're down by a score of 13-7, but they're walking towards the Tigers' end zone right now.
That's a great play from Richard Lowry out of the fullback position. He's going to fake the play action. They do a good job in the backfield faking the counter action, but then he's just going to fake block, and then he's just going to slip off into the flats, and no one's left there as Nick Coe has evacuated the area to catch Sam Michael over the top.
And so it's a run to the right side there for Lowry, and he's plunging down. He gained about 9 yards on that run.
And that's the first time we've seen CBU go inside and have a lot of success. Lowry does a good job as the Tigers all basically were just shifted all to the right and all blocked to the right from the defensive side of the ball. Lowry does one cutback and is able to get inside. And once he does that, it's just one-on-one with him and Oakley Gordon in the back end. And Oakley Gordon's able to make the tackle. Actually, that's not even Oakley Gordon. But that's a great play from the Tigers' secondary, Chase Messner, to stop that from going any further.
And it's Wernick under center here. Takes it, hands it up the middle. It's going to be Lowry plowing forward for the first down. It's going to be 1st and 10 for the Redhawks for about the Tigers, 18.
And that's a great play again. We're talking about this interior defensive line right now from the Tigers, having one of the best games we've seen all season from them. That's a great job from Nick Beauchamp and Bruce Wright here, play side. But Jerry Nemo comes off the defensive end. He's basically wraps all the way around the offensive linemen who are trying to block him, and comes in from behind and just sticks Lowry inside. And although Bruce Wright and Nick Beauchamp had held him up, Jerry Nemo coming in, making that play on the edge. Great job, and that's now they're bringing out the chains, but regardless, not a lot of success outside of that 1 9-yard gain for the CBU running attack up inside.
And there's 8:51 left to go on the clock in this third quarter. The Tigers are leading by a score of 13-7, but the Redhawks are starting to threaten here. They're going to have a first down. They did take a moment to measure it, but it is going to be 1st down and 10 from the Tigers' 18. So some dangerous territory with these Redhawks, who are right now taking advantage of some Tiger turnovers.
Now, if I'm Middlebury, though, I take that. You know, it's going to be 3rd and 1. You're not really in a great defensive position. Might as well just give the first down. Make them have to get 10. They haven't proven outside of one play they can have a lot of success on the ground.
And under center here, and it is a handoff to the big fullback who's running forward. It's Lowry, really not gaining anything on that run.
That's a great play from Wyatt LaBurge, and we just continue to talk about this defensive front. LaBurge is able to take his man and holds him up, as CBU tries to get up inside there with Lowry, Wyatt LaBurge is able to hold that hole, so when Lowry hits the hole, there's nowhere else. He's just running into his own man, and so that slows him down. By the time he tries to make a cut, Trey Kaufman's able to come in from the defensive end position to make the tackle.
And so the quarterback tries to hand it off up the middle again there. Lowry stops. Right now, the reason we're talking about the defensive line is right now Lowry's run 9 times for about 21 yards.
And this time it's Jerry Nemo making the big stick. And Jerry Nemo does not have a size advantage over Richard Lowry. Richard Lowry coming in listed at 5'11", 175, but he is a well-built 175. Jerry Nemo comes off the edge and just sees the ball going into Lowry's guts and makes a hard stick, a hard tackle right at the line of scrimmage. That's going to bring up 3rd and 10. A great play right now from this defensive line from Middlebury to prevent CVU, who wants to be a run-based team, from having any success.
Wernick under center, dropping back, looking downfield for an open receiver. He's being pursued by a Tiger. He throws it up. A lot of people having a chance to go for it, but well overthrown. And that's not going to be there for the Redhawks.
I believe that's Brady the Rock coming in, puts a good stick there on Bortnick. And Bortnick actually had Sam Michael open earlier in the route if he decided to throw it. Michael had found a little gap between the linebackers and safety, but as Bortnick waited and threw that up, everyone was converging on one point in the secondary. No one's really open. Going to bring up a 4th and 10 here. CVU forced to go for a punting would be worthless with the ball at the 18-yard line.
So as auspiciously as this drive started for the Redhawks here, kind of a tough spot, 4th and 10 for the 18 of the Tigers. And going back, it's going to be a look downfield by the quarterback. He's got pressure in his face. It was brought over on the sideline, but everybody's excited, but that's not going to be a first down, Marshall.
No, they're going to be 3 yards short, and that's well defended by the Tigers. They're going to go to look like a cover two. So what's going to happen is Nick Coe's going to take his man. He's going to run him downfield, and maybe we're looking at the wrong line, but looks like it's going to be about a yard short. And so the Tigers are going to get it, but that's a good job from taking the secondary. You say, okay, we're going to fake as if we're going to cover you over the top and leave the flats like we've been doing on this drive, and then you come back underneath. This might actually be pretty close, depending on the spot. Tough with this awning right in our line of sight, at least mine. But this is going to be an interesting spot, and it's certainly going to be close.
And they are going to look for this here. And they're looking to measure it. They gave them the first down, Marshall. We stand corrected.
It was a generous spot, that's for sure, but a good play.
And I thought it was at least the yard. They're too shy.
And a good play call, because they do get the flat, so they get 10 yards. It looked like the Tigers were just going to say, okay, take 7 or 8. And honestly, when he got knocked out of bounds, it looked like he was knocked down closer to the 8, or excuse me, closer to the 10 and not to the 8. They gave him the 8-yard line. That's going to bring up 1st and goal now for CVU at the 8 headed in.
And we'll see here. Timeout called by the Tigers. I think they need to reassess what they were thinking, Marshall.
Absolutely. It looked like they might have had 12 men on the field because the Tiger offense had gone out onto the field because they had assumed, like us, that that was short and that the Tiger offense would be taking the ball from the 8-yard line. And so when that happens, a little miscommunication on who's supposed to come off and who's not. And as CVU goes to the line, Middleware's got 12 men on the defensive backfield. Would have been a penalty. So Coach Smith's forced to burn a timeout here early in the third quarter at CVU. He's taking the ball here after forcing a fumble on the Tigers' opening drive of the second half.
And with 7:20 left to go in this third quarter, it is the Tigers leading the Redhawks by a score of 13-7. But the Redhawks working their way down the field with this first down here, 1st and goal from about the 8 of the Middlebury Tigers. So they're coming back out onto the field here. Tigers coming out as well. Looks like they're ready to go. The coach is taking a while to talk to Lowry over here on the sideline. Maybe giving him some direction here on what they'd like to see as they get close to the end zone. Maybe relying on the big fullback a little bit. As the crowd chants out CVU under the Friday night lights, they're setting up here looking to see what they can do, whether they can tie this thing up or take the lead. And there's going to be some sort of motion here on this first down play.
It's going to be a false start here on Sam Michael, the CVU Redhawks split end to the right side. And that's, again, this is going to be if this ends up being the deterrent for the CVU offense, it's going to be the second time that a long drive is installed by a false start. You go back to when they had a 7-0 lead. They had the ball at the Tiger 40-yard line, and a legal motion forced a 3rd and 5 into a 3rd and 10. They weren't able to get a 3rd or 4th down conversion. Middlebury able to answer that with their touchdown drive to kick off the second quarter. Now you're looking at 1st and goal from the 13 rather than the 8.
And 3 running backs, 2 wide receivers here, and the handoff is going to be up the middle to Bose, who's going to be stopped basically at the line of scrimmage.
And there's nowhere for him to go. They try to do a counter action, so they're going to pull the right side of the line, the right guard and right tackle. But as they pull, the Tigers do a great job of filling in that hole on the play side. That would have been Wyatt LaBerge filling that hole with Brady the Rock. And then backside, Bruce Wright's just going to, like we said, hop in that back pocket of the offensive lineman, and he's going to go right to the play, gets the football. Now CVU, who hasn't proven they can run the ball consistently in this game, is now a 2nd and goal from the 14.
And under center, dropping back here, handed off. Bell keeping himself, pitch out to the right side. Kick it back towards the inside. It's a touchdown for Brad Reynolds. And really, he had a lot of space to operate on that right side.
He did. They do a great job. Jerry Nemo crashes hard, and he's going to stick Richard Lowry inside. But then Bornick's able to pitch it out to Reynolds on the perimeter as he's able to pull the ball from Lowry before he goes down. Pitches it, and once Reynolds gets to the edge, a couple good cut moves to get inside and put the Redhawks on the board, and now with an opportunity to take the lead.
And getting ready here for the extra point kick is Tanner Smith. And the snap is up, and a little bit of a left exchange there. He's trying for the far pylon, looking to get two here, and is going to be unable to. It's going to be a tie game, 13-13 on that botched extra point. Potentially a big play right there. 13-13, CVU Redhawks, Middlebury Tigers. You're listening to high school football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
For just what you need to get your projects done right, shop Martin's True Value Hardware and Radio Shack. Hi, I'm Kathleen Clark. Hey, Martin, it's fun to watch these football games. Oh, what does that mean? The striped guy has his two arms up in the air.
It means it's good for the Tigers. Looks like they're headed for another win. Keep up the winning tradition, Tigers.
For all your fall needs, shop Martin's Hardware in Bristol and Middlebury. Behind every project is a true value.
High school football is on 92.1 WVTK.
And so far, it's been two scores for CVU, and they've both come off turnovers. And on this drive, a long drive with a lot of different things that happened, Brad Reynolds was able to run it in from 13 yards out. The things went awry on the extra point, so the Tigers escape a little bit of one there. But as we get along about halfway through the third quarter, it's 13-13, CVU and Middlebury.
And an update on some out-of-town scores. You know, Austin Danforth touched on this a little bit, but Rutland and Hartford have entered the half at 20-all after Rutland rallying from that 20-point deficit to begin the football game. So that one with those implications first and potentially now the second seed, depending on what happens here with this game on the line down in Hartford between the Hurricanes and the Red Raiders.
Certainly as tight a game as we've seen all season here so far. So the Tigers set to kick off here. The Red Hawks kicking off from the 40, taking it down. There's a squib kick going down, picked up by Gordon at about the 27. And who's got it? He did hand it off there to Hotcho, and Hotcho's going to bring it back to the 31. That's where the Tigers are going to take it over. Side 13-13 with 6:29 left to go in the third quarter. And the press box is getting more and more packed.
It really is, as they're doing the 50-50 announcement. But that's a play there if you're Oakley Gordon. You kind of just got to scrap the reverse. When he gives it to Hotcho, there's two CV Redhawks waiting for him. You got to take that one, get as much as you can on your own, forget the reverse on that type of squib kick, and just get back to as many, you know, maybe the 35-30-yard line.
First and 10 here for the Tigers. One wide receiver out to the left. Three running backs in the backfield. Gordon under center from their own 30. Gordon calling it out. He hands it off up the middle to Fisher. Big run there on the first down. 13-yard run for the fullback. Just basically getting a nice hole open by that offensive line and plowing forward.
And they're going to get 15 more yards. This is going to be a face mask penalty on CVU as Fisher was brought down quite awkwardly there at the end of that run. And that's going to be a horse collar tackle on CVU. So that's going to turn into a 28-yard gain for Middlebury. That's exactly what this offense is needed. They have their last touchdown drive to begin the second quarter. Based off of that big long run and a big long pass to Chase Messner, now you get a 13-yard run capped off with a 15-yard penalty on CVU. Now you got the ball on the 40-yard line, a big opportunity to start doing some damage and take that lead back that you just lost.
And a great opportunity here for the Tigers to really try to keep working on that resilience. They've been showing it so far this game. Gordon under center, three running backs, one wide receiver split out to the left. He's got Nemo in motion. And Gordon keeps it himself, pitches it over to Nemo on the right side, finding a bit of a hole, churning forward, people falling all over him. That's a nice gain of 7 yards on the far sideline for high-stepping Jerry Nemo.
And Jerry Nemo is not, he doesn't bring the stature of a power back. He just runs so hard that I don't think if I was out there a cornerback, I'd want to get in his way. And certainly when he gets tackled, it doesn't look like guys are running up at him saying, hey, I want to give this guy a lick. He runs so hard when he gets that football that when he attacks the line of scrimmage, he is literally attacking the line of scrimmage. And anyone in his way is either going to get a hard lick or they're going to go down with him because he runs the ball so hard, and that's why he's able to get 7 yards in our first down.
Third and three for the Tigers from the 33 of the Red Hawks. It's a head off the middle up to Kaufman, churning forward. He's going to have the first down on a straight-ahead run. Trey Kaufman's been running with a lot more authority and assurity these last couple weeks.
Absolutely. Ever since the comeback win in Colchester, Drake Coughlin, we've seen a lot different. Not that gliding Coughlin, but a much more powerful run. And as these Tigers start to develop that, this backfield becomes a lot more dangerous because they have the capability with so many guys running so hard that anytime you're the defense, you know every person that's touching the ball, they're going to give you a lick, especially Cortland Fisher and Parker Gross inside of the fullback position. But now with Coughlin, Nemo, and Abdul Sader at the edge, they run hard and they want to deliver the punch.
5:56 left to go. Tigers on the move here, and it's Gordon rolling out. You know, looking downfield, he had a wide receiver shirt down the right sideline, but he was not able to bring it in.
Excuse me, guys. Guys, we're trying to call the game right here. And that was on Trey Coffin. He was looking deep to see Trey Coffin. One thing I got to say on that one, Trey Coffin looks like he comes out of that break a little slow. He doesn't sprint right off the bat. And as Oakley Gordon lost that one up, then you see Trey Coffin kind of pull on the turbos and try to run underneath that. He's got to get that route going from the snap of the ball, just sprinting downfield, because there was no one around him. No one accounted for Trey Coffin downfield. If he catches that, that's 6 points for the Tigers.
And it's second and 10 here for the Tigers. Gordon under center. He's got Nemo in motion from the right to the left. Gordon's looking downfield. He's got a man open, but it's too long. And that was picked off by the defensive back of the runoff. He's running it back down that far sideline. He's getting driven out at the 40. That's another turnover for the Middlebury Tigers.
Well, the Tigers aren't going to have to be too concerned because this CBU Red Hawk bench sees the yellow hanky down at about the 25-20-yard line. And it's going to be pass interference. The Trey Coffman is coming out of his break. If not pass interference, at least defensive holding. He goes for the ball, but his left arm is being pulled back behind him, and that should give the ball back unless the officials decide to pick up the flag, as they won't. That's going to give the Tigers a big break, because now they're going to get the ball 15 yards downfield from the current spot, which is the 30, so they should have the ball at the 5-yard penalty, so 25-yard line, and the Tigers are going to avoid the turnover, obviously, is a big point of it. They're going to get the first down as well.
Defensive holding against the CBU Redhawks in that play, and boy, things were not looking good for the Tigers in turnover world until that moment. And so here they are. They're talking it out a little bit here as they're trying to figure out exactly where they're going to be, I guess.
And as they talk it out, we'll let you know the high school football on 92.1 is brought to you by Vermont Field Sports. For all your hunting needs and a great selection of new and used guns on Route 7 in Middlebury. And by Mike's Auto and Towing for all your car care needs and a whole lot more. Mike's Auto online at mikesautomid.com. That's Mike's Auto Mid, MIDD.com.
5:21 left to go in this third quarter. Scores 13-13. Tigers are on the move here, playing with a nice sense of poise here. It could have gone a little tough for them after that turnover, and then the score could have been tough for them if they had just had that turnover happen, but it was a defensive hold called against the CBU Redhawks. Tigers are going to have the first down from the 19 of the Redhawks. Gordon under center, one wide receiver to the right, which is the short side of the field. But it goes back to Coffin from the right to the left. Trey's tripping over people. He's doing a nice job there. Gets down to about the one. Trey Coffin running with that power that we've seen ever since that Colchester game. 18-yard run by the young man.
And that's, they go to the great play there. They go to the counter again. And Trey Coffin hits it right through the middle and able to get a good gain and put that ball about on the 1 yard line headed in.
Tigers quickly lining up here at the 1 yard line. Gordon under center. He's got Demo in motion. But he hands it off up the middle to the fullback. Parker Gross in for the touchdown. Touchdown, Parker Gross. And the Tigers go back on top. 1 yard plunge for the young fullback.
And that's a great job. I like the decision to go to the hurry-up offense. You get the first down with that long, about 15-yard run from Trey Coffman, and then you get up inside, and you just go right back to it. You don't let CBU get their goal line defense on the field. You force them to just kind of hustle onto the ball, and then you run the triple option, something that almost every time the Tigers run it, gets at least 2 to 3 yards. You punch it in for one, and now you get the momentum right back away from the CBU team.
Gordon waiting for the snap on the extra points. Here comes the snap, down, and good. The Tigers have taken the lead. So with 4:43 left to go here in the third quarter, it is Middlebury 20 and CVU 13. It's high school football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Houston's Farm Supply of Bridport carries the high-pressure cleaning equipment that gets the job done right. Let them show you the Hotzi hot and cold pressure washers, available in electrical, all voltages, and gas or diesel propane. Houston's Farm Supply is a full-service dealer carrying all parts and accessories, plus a full line of detergents from 5-gallon pails to 55-gallon drums. When it comes to high-power pressure washers, you'll find the best, Hotzi, at Houston's Farm Supply on the Crown Point Road in Bridport.
High school football is on 92.1 WVTK.
And on a drive that could have, and it felt like, was going to go a much different direction when it looked like the Redhawks had picked off Oakley Gordon, it turned out not to be so on a penalty. And then a nice Trey Kaufman, 18-yard run later, and then a 1-yard plunge by Parker Gross. The Tigers are ahead by a score of 20-13 here late in the third quarter. Oakley Gordon gets ready to kick the ball off from the 40 over to the Red Hawks. And here goes the kick, and it's going towards the far sideline. I think they're just going to let it kind of die down there. And no, they're going to pick it up and try to return it, but not for much of an advantage. It's going to be first down for the Red Hawks at about the 20-yard line.
Now, I want to go back to that, what would have been an interception for CVU, what turned out to be a defensive holding. The referees, Middlebury had the ball at the 30-yard line, and they gave them a defensive holding call, and they gave them 10 yards. A defensive holding is only 5-yard penalty. So Middlebury should have had the automatic first down, but the ball at the 25 and not the 20. And that changes when an 18-yard run from Trey Coffin puts it at the 1-2-yard line, and then a 1-yard punch in for Corlin Fisher completely changes that drive. You take 5 yards, that puts it on the 7, and you still have plays to make. Interesting refereeing kind of mix up there. What should have been a 5-yard penalty turned to 10 helped out the Tigers quite a bit.
And so the Red Hawks have it. Quarterback rolling out to his right side, overthrows his man. It was Lowry going out towards the near sideline. Andrew Portnick just throwing a little high for him.
And they're, they snap Lowry wide open again. They go to a man coverage, so Nick Coe is going to take Sam Michael and just run with him downfield. And he's got him locked up, but what happens is Lowry is going to get man covered with the linebacker Chris Greer. And Chris Greer just isn't able to keep up with Lowry right now on the edge. What I'd like to see potentially is see that safety come down and pick up the back out of the backfield. You kind of put a two-man system on him. If Nick Coe, who's done a great job on Sam Michael, has him locked down, you got two men on the back.
And it's a plunge up the middle by Lowry there. He's not gaining anything on that one. It's going to be third and long here for the Redhawks.
And what something like that would also do is if you're Jack Hunch, you could kind of bait Burnick into thinking that he's got Lowry wide open. Then you can come up and do a couple of these. You can lay the lumber and put Lowry as, on his tail end as much as you can. Or you can bait him into lofting one in, try to get an interception knowing no one's going to be in front of you taking it back. But instead, they're going to this man coverage with the linebacker on the back. And right now, the Tigers aren't able to keep up with these CVU backs out in pass routes with their linebackers.
And it is Burnick coming under center. He's got three running backs and two receivers. And Bordick gets swallowed up there by a defensive lineman right off the bat. And that is a sack. It was Jerry Nemo who came up and put on that sack for the Middlebury Tigers.
And Jerry Nemo has been giving Bordick fits consistently throughout this game, especially on the offensive, or excuse me, on the option. Anytime they get to Lowry, he's been putting some pretty good licks on Lowry, despite the size disadvantage he has. And Mayer does a great job. He forces Bordick to keep it, and then greets him with a nice 5-yard sack.
Now it is going to be punted away by the Redhawks, and the snap is up. The punt is up. That's a nice punt, Marshall. It's going well over the returner's head, bouncing at the 40. Now it's picked up. It's going to be returned here by Hotzel, coming over this near side, calling out for some blocks. He's at the 40, turns up to the 45, gets driven out at about the 46.
And he's going to fumble the football there at the 45-yard line, but the Tigers are lucky that that one is batted out of bounds, and they're going to get the football at the 45-yard line. But like you said, that was the best punt we've seen potentially really all season. The first time we've seen a punt where the Tigers have to backpedal for the football, and when you aren't able to run that reverse, it really takes away the blocking scheme that the Tigers are setting up, because they set up a wall for the reverse man, the return man, to just kind of get behind on the reverse. When you don't run that reverse, CVU is just able to collapse on one man, knowing who has the ball 100%.
And the Tigers have the ball at their own 45, first to 10. Gordon calling out with three running backs, wide receiver over on the far side. And it's handed off the middle for Corlin Fisher. Huge hole, and he just explodes through that line. He gained 16 yards, and it's a straight-ahead run there. Huge hole opened up on the offensive line. Nice explosion by Fisher.
Like you mentioned, this is a great job from the offensive line. They're able to get to the next level. They're also able to push the defensive line back. So by the time Fisher gets the ball, the holes are just waiting for him.
And it's Gordon again under center, and this time Oakley's keeping it himself, working over towards the right side, gain of about five.
And I like this approach of the Tigers take on that last play. They get a 15-yard pickup from Fisher, and they say get back on the line and run the exact same play, and they do, and they get it for another 5 yards. Very typical of Dennis Smith. If it's not broke, we're not going to change anything. They get 15, they go back to the same play, get five.
Tigers leading 20-13 here, about 2.5 minutes left to go in the third quarter. They're on the CVU 35, second and five. Gordon under center, he hands it off. Oh, he pitches it out to the outside to Ali Abdul-Sader. Has to wait for it for a second. Driven out after a gain of about two.
One thing I'd like to see from Oakley Gordon on that play is to attack the line of scrimmage a little bit more. What he's doing is he gets the read, he knows to keep, and then he sees someone coming at him, and rather than forcing contact, he immediately pitches it away. What that does is it allows the defender to go from, I think the quarterback has the ball, I'm going to try to take him down, to bouncing out and being able to make a play on the halfback with the football. Attack the defender a little bit more from Oakley Gordon, draw him in, and then you can pitch it out. No one's going to come out and get that man.
Third about four for the Tigers, and Gordon has it, hands it up the middle there, and it's sprinting down the middle is the running back. He gets to, looks like it was Kaufman. He gets to about the 15.
And another great offensive line play for the Tigers. They're really opening up the gas right now. And they're, what they're doing is not only open up the inside, but then they're able to get to the linebacker. So the next level has already been blocked. And with CVU having all their guys within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage, once they get next level, there's no one behind them.
Ed Gordon under center now. He turns and hands it off to Trey once again. Why not? Much shorter gain this time, but still gaining about four on that carry.
And that's a much better play from CVU, but like you mentioned, they still get four because Trey Kaufman's running a lot harder. As soon as he gets the football, he's taking off downfield. And it's only one man who's making a play there for CVU on the defensive line. The rest of the defensive line gets pushed back from this great play right now from the Tiger O-line.
Second and six for the Tigers from the 13 of the Red Hawks. Gordon's got Kaufman in motion. Gordon comes back, hands it to Ali Abdul-Sader, tests that right side, gets swung around near the end once the linebackers converge on him, but it's a first down for the Tigers, first and goal from about the four.
And Jordan Broughton is out there right now for the Tigers on the offensive line, and I'm looking now, he's coming out. Wyatt LaBerge was on the sideline on the last couple plays, and a good job there from Jordan Broughton. Does a good job in the left tackle position, opening up some holes there, especially on that last counter to get the Tigers the first down. Wyatt LaBerge now back in at left tackle for the Tigers.
9 yard gain there for Ali, and it's going to be first down for the Tigers here, looking to get even further ahead on the scoreboard. And Gordon goes back, and it's handed up the middle. And I think that's going to be Fisher on the plunge to the right side for a touchdown. Parker Gross again, they just gave it to. Parker with a second touchdown of the game, this one from 4 yards out.
And we're seeing a much better offensive unit right now for the Tigers here in the second half with two touchdowns already. They fumble on that opening possession, but that was on a 15-yard, 10-yard run there from Trey Coffin when he gave up the ball. This offense, starting in the second quarter when they had those two touchdowns, they've looked more like this well-oiled machine that we've seen in the previous weeks. And CVU has no answer, and they especially have no answer on the offensive side of the ball to try to get any of these points back right now.
And the snap is up, the kick is up, and it is good. And it is going to be 27-13. The Middlebury Tigers getting on the board once again. It's high school football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Real trust is having a partner you can count on. National Bank of Middlebury has experienced bankers providing advice, guidance, and support you can trust. And a full range of loans, savings, and online products and services. Find out what having the right partner can do for you. Offices in Middlebury, Brandon, Bristol, Hinesburg, and Vergennes, or online at mbmvt.com. Bank real. Live real. National Bank of Middlebury.
Member FDIC. Equal housing lender. Equal opportunity employer.
This is Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
Well, one thing we can always try to do, and everyone tries to do, is do things better. And the Tigers are doing things better right now, for sure. And a game that's looked dicey at times, they're ahead now by a nice score. It's 27-13, Tigers over CVU with 51 seconds left to go in the third quarter. It's the final week of the regular season for the Tigers. They're playing for the second or third spot in the Division I standings. And for CVU, they're playing to see whether they end up fourth and with a home game to start the year or playoffs or be on the road. Right now, it's not looking so good for them.
It's Oakley Clark with a Oakley Gordon, not Oakley Clark. That was an old student. He kicks it off and brings it up to about the 30 is the returner.
And a little bit of out of town scoreboard for you. Speaking of that Rutland Hartford game, interception from Rutland. They pick it off at their own 5 yard line, and they currently lead 27-20 with 4:30 left. Believe that's going to be in the second half, or excuse me, of the third quarter. So they are up now by 7 points with the ball, their own 5, and that's that. Winner gets first seed, loser gets a 3, potentially getting Middlebury in the semifinal round if both were to advance.
And for the Redhawks now, trying up the middle is the running back there on the quick handoff. And really nothing going there for Brad Reynolds. Just clarification for me, you were saying that was Rutland who had that.
Rutland was up top, 27-20. Yes, and they just got the interception. And Tiger Football brought to you by Monument Farms of Weybridge. Join the movement and support local farms and Houston's Farm Supply and Hardware. Proudly started and run by the Houston family of good old Bridport, Vermont, the old homestead spot.
And I can see Bridgeport from my back deck. All right, it's 2nd and 8 here for the Redhawks. And it's a pitch out to this right side here. Reynolds getting a big hole on that side. Gets driven out by about the 40. But nice hole there created by the right side of the line. It was Honchel that drove him out.
And that's a great tackle from Jack Honchel coming up from the safety position. And Reynolds tries to give a little hurdle, half sidestep on him. And Honchel does a great job, puts his shoulder pad right into the leg of Reynolds and knocks him out of bounds. But there's going to be a penalty down on the field. It's going to be a hold. And that's going to really hurt CBU because that's the first play that we've seen here, and maybe second play of the second half where their offense has actually looked productive. Yeah, they had the touchdown run earlier, but that's kind of the only time we've seen them get to the perimeter and have success. They've been trying to drive it inside, and they've had no success in doing so because this defensive front and the linebacking core for Middlebury right now has been playing right now the best game that we've seen from them all season in preventing the run as we head to the fourth.
And that's the end of the third quarter. We go towards the fourth with the Tigers leading by a score of 27-13. It's high school football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
What? Is this real? I gotta be dreaming.
With Shell and the Fuel Rewards Network program, you won't believe how much less you can pay for your fill-up at participating Shell stations.
This is awesome.
Just shop through fuelrewards.com and dine at participating restaurants to earn rewards. Then, use your Fuel Rewards Network card at Shell and save.
Sweet!
Want to pay less for fuel? Sign up free at fuelrewards.com. Restrictions apply. Limit 20 gallons per purchase per vehicle. For information on rewards expiration and other details, see fuelrewards.com.
Pick up your Fuel Reward Network card, available at all Champlain Farms Shell locations. A great way to start off your day is with Monument Farms hot chocolate. Just pop their signature chocolate milk in the microwave and you have instant delicious hot chocolate. Great for the kids before they head outdoors and to school. You can find all Monument Farms local products in many area stores. And if you live nearby, please stop into their popular dairy store Mondays through Fridays. Monument Farms, landmark quality from the heart of Vermont in Weybridge.
This is Tiger Football on 92.1 WBTK.
CBU with a 2nd and 18 from their own 21 to start the fourth quarter here, and they're looking to pass. The quarterback trying to make long pass there. Oh, snag. What an excellent catch. There's going to be pass interference on someone. I have to admit, I'm not sure who it's going to go against. Marshall thinks it's going to go against CBU.
I think
they might say the Tiger hit him kind of early on that play, but it was a fantastic catch by number 88, Zach Thompson.
And I think that it's going to be pass interference on CBU. It looks like as he goes up for this, and it's going to be, he goes up, and what happens is the ball is underthrown. And so I believe that was Sam Michael actually out there, 87. He pulls up there to get the football, and as a safety's going for it, Michael just extends his right arm, sends who that would have been, Jack Honchel, away from him, and then is able to leap up. And that's why he's able to make that catch so unprotected and unguarded, because he extends his arm and forces Jack Honchel behind him and pulls it in. And this is, again, this is a position where CBU has kind of avoided the penalties throughout the game, but now two penalties on consecutive plays is going to bring up about a 1st and 30 yards right now. 2nd and 30. for CVU, and now you're in a position. This is a must-score drive. Second and 33 from your own 10, not the highest percentile of team score from this position.
No, for CVU, boy, for a team that's played so well tonight, the wheel's coming off the wagon here. They have two wide receivers, three running backs in the backfield, and drop back. It's a run over to the left side. Nice shake and bake there by the running back as he comes over this side. Some moves there made by number 29, Braven Boyce, is just so far to try to take up that he made a tremendous run, and he still only got back at about 13 yards of what he was missing.
And that was a great run, like you said, and it's going to bring up about a third and 13. But when you have so many yards that you need to pick up, a big game like that certainly helps it, but it doesn't get everything back. But getting to a position where it's third and 13 rather than third and 20 or third and 25 means you can pull that pass play out of your playbook here and try to get something downfield and make something happen, something you wouldn't have been able to do on third and 20.
And that was a 16-yard gain there by Bose. And they're looking downfield for a receiver there. Nice snag as it comes up to about the 45. Beautiful job by Jack Dugan to pull that thing in. And nice first down catch.
And that was an even better ball there from Bortnick. And a well-covered man. Dugan was very well guarded there. I believe that was Ali Abdul Sader. And just put that in the only position that Dugan could put it, to catch it. Abdul Sader on the back shoulder there of Dugan. Bortnick puts it on the front shoulder. And obviously they're not able to get around and put a hand on it. Great catch and great pass.
First and 10 from the 45 of the Red Hawks. The Red Hawks, I don't know, but they put it on the ground on the exchange between Reynolds and Bortnick. They just laid it down on the ground, and now that's going to be a loss of two. It's going to be second and 13. I lost a three, actually. Second and 13 here for the Red Hawks.
High School Football 92.1 brought to you by Born On Insurance in Middlebury, home of the Coop Chicks for all your insurance needs, and by Addison County Commission Sales, Addison County's premier destination for Vermont livestock.
And third and about 12 here for the Red Hawks. And it is Bortnick under center. He's got three running backs, but he's dropping back looking for a receiver. He throws it high up, intercepted over on the far sideline. This is going to be a touchdown, streaking down that far sideline, and a touchdown. Marshall, do we get a number on that player?
Something three, I believe. It's tough from where we're seeing from the far side where these lights don't really illuminate uniforms all that well. But that was
Andrew Gleason,
18. Does a great job. Gleason coming, he's playing the corner position. And this is something they've been doing a lot of today, the Tigers have. They go to a cover two. And so what they've done is they kind of bait Bortnick into thinking they're going man. So Gleason's going to run that thing back. He's going to stay with Sam Michael for 5 yards downfield. Bortnick's going to think like he's had all night. Lowry's going to be wide open in the flat. As he goes to that flat receiver, first off, the ball's a little overthrown. And Gleason is cutting up now because that's his priority, guarding the flat. He's able to intercept that ball. No one's catching him, and he takes off running, no one in front, and a big interception. That is really going to all but seal it unless CDU can prove they can get some offense going, which they haven't to this point.
And Gordon's in here for the extra point. And it is up. It goes over the holder's head. Gordon's going down to try to cover it. It is going to be covered up at about the 25. So a botched extra point kick there for the Tigers, but still the Middlebury Tigers are leading by a score of 33-13. It's high school football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Come on in to Rack and Reel, your hunting, fishing store. Bows and arrows, guns and ammo, that and so much more.
Hunting season is here, and time to enjoy your favorite sport and go for the big catch. Get over to Rack and Reel Route 7 in New Haven. Whether you're into fishing or hunting, you'll find just what you need from names you trust, like Wolverine, Johnson Wool, and more. No more need to travel anywhere else for all your hunting gear and supplies. Make it one stop, Rack and Reel, at the junction of Routes 7 and 17 in New Haven, or call them at 453-2000. This year, make it Rack and Reel.
Cause we love the outdoors just as much as you do. Come on down to Rack and Reel and we'll take care of you.
You're listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
And on a night when resilience has been required, it was the Red Hawks who looked like they were being resilient, overcoming a couple penalties and being deep in a hole at their own end. They'd been working down the field, but then it was an interception returned by Andrew Gleason, roughly 46 yards to pay dirt, and the Tigers have taken a commanding lead here early in the fourth quarter with a score of 33-13. And Gordon kicking it off now, fumbled by the returner at about the 11, really a dropped kick. and he brings it up to about the 21, which is where the Redhawks are going to take it over, looking to try to get something going here early in the fourth quarter.
And that's a tough drop. CBU gets a little lucky there as the return man, Brandon Young, is able to, he actually falls down as he's originally making the catch, but he doesn't come in with it. So the ball squirts away from him. He's able to get up and makes about 3-4 yards back. But now's the big drive. If last drive was a must score, this is a, you know, if you score, you're not winning this football game right now for CBU. Offense hasn't been effective on the ground inside. Your passing game has been inconsistent. If you can't string time together, this is it.
And get ready for lots of passes, although this one does start off with a run up the middle with a flag coming in late. It was, looks like it was Reynolds who just put his head down and gained 2 yards. Actually, it was Bose, but we'll see what the call was.
This is going to be a face mask on Middlebury, and that's going to be the most ideal situation for CBU. It's going to be a 15-yard penalty from the spot of the foul, which is going to give CBU the ball at about the 36-yard line, their own 36. So now they're going to get an opportunity. Middlebury helps them out with a 15-yard gain, and that's what propelled Middlebury's last touchdown drive from the offensive side of the ball was after a 13-yard gain from Colin Fisher. That 15-yard face mask penalty tacked on turned into almost a 30-yard pickup. Now you got 15 yards, and actually calling this incidental face mask, which I didn't think was a penalty anymore, so they're only going to get 5 yards out of it.
And with 9:21 left to go in the fourth quarter, it is Middlebury 33, CBU 13. And CBU tries to keep it on the ground and churning forward here. They're going to be close to a first down. I think they are going to give it to them.
And this is the second questionable call that we've seen from this referee set. If that was, maybe I just misread the sign, but I'm pretty sure that was a face mask sign. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that should be a 15-yard penalty as the incidental face masks were taken out of football about 3 years ago. So it should have been a 15-yard penalty given the ball to CBU at the 36. They do pick up the first down now on their own, but still the ball is only at the 33-yard line here, first and 10.
Well, they owed the Redhawks 5 from the last drive, so if you subtract 5, 15, you know, it starts coming together. All right, the Redhawks to the first and 10 from their own 31. And this case is being brought up the middle. And still fighting, still churning forward. There's strong running by the running back of the Redhawks. In this case, it was Lowry gaining a nice chunk on that first down run, gain of about 5.
And this is, we've seen a couple now plays on this drive where the CBU's had a little bit of success up inside. But I still would be kind of surprised if CBU doesn't try to keep airing it out here. Now, they do get intercepted on the last one. They haven't had a lot of success. But you're down to this point. This is still an offensive unit that we talked about earlier in this football game that's used to running the spread, used to throwing the football. Won't be surprised to see it here.
And the quarterback goes back. He's got people all over him. Reynolds, though, does end up with the ball, running out towards the right side. No gain. In fact, a loss of about 2 as the Tigers' defensive line stiffens up.
And that's a great play from Jerry Nemo. They're going to run the counter, CBU is, and they're going to try to get inside the defensive end. But this defensive front that we talked about on the interior part of this line, Nick Beauchamp, Ryan LaBerge, and Bruce Wright do a great job of closing up that hole, forcing Reynolds to the outside. And Jerry Nemo, one of the faster guys on this football team, is able to chase him down and pull him down for a loss of 2.
3rd and 5 from the 37 of the Redhawks. And quarterback drops back. He's going to be looking downfield as Bortnick, and he throws off to this near side. It's not going to gain anything. It falls into the hands of Richard Lowry. Lowry gets maybe about 2 yards, gets back up to the original line of all, a little past the original line of scrimmage, but not much beyond that.
And that's a tough draw. You get Lowry open in the flats again, and it's just underthrown. And this has just kind of been the typical offensive possession right now for CBU. You get some type of confidence in the ball moving, and then it all fizzles out because you cannot string together consecutive plays that are successful. Middlebury's getting the football back with an opportunity to start putting this thing on ice.
About 7 minutes left to go in this final quarter. CBU needs to do something if they're going to do something, but they're having to punt it away. And they are punting it, and it is going to drop at about the 35. Keep rolling back, but the Tigers are going to take it over. So CBU, with a 20-point hold, decides to punt it at this point in the game.
And, you know, it's a situation where if you punt it, or if you go for it and you don't get it, Middlebury's going to get the ball at the 32-yard line, so they would have had great field position to really put the game away. You hope here that you can maybe either force a turnover or try to get a defensive stand and get the football back, but the way this offense has been moving from the second quarter on has been really effective. I mean, CDU hasn't had any answers to this Middlebury offensive attack, and they haven't been able to slow the counter action down, and that's going to be the problem here for CDU if they try to get a stop.
Right, you gave up a chance for 40 yards. I'm not sure that calculus is going to work out. And right now, the Tigers turning forward the fullback as Gordon handed it off to Fisher, who gained about 2 yards there.
And it's certainly a possession where CBU, you know, you were within. It was about 4th and 8, and you've proven you can actually throw the ball with some success. You look at that the second down and 30 that they had on their own 10, and they got that back in 2 plays. So this is certainly a football team that has shown they can be effective on 3rd and long. A little puzzling, honestly, with 7 minutes left. This is a kind of do-or-die situation.
And the Tigers are just going to eat this clock. And it's Gordon under center, pitches it around to Debo. It's coming from the left to the right. He finds a little hole to the right, and he's churning up. He's going to be almost to the 40 when he's driven out of bounds. It's going to be 3rd and about 3 or 4 for the Tigers.
And that's, like you said, just a play to just try to chew the clock. And Middlebury's in no hurry to get these next couple plays off. Certainly not huddling up like in days past, but they're not going to let this thing go. You get 25 seconds, the play clock's still at 21 right now. So expect that play clock to be at about 2 or 3 when the ball is set, because Middlebury doesn't need to get a playoff here on 3rd down and short.
Tigers leading by 20 points, 33-13. They've got a 3rd and 5 from their own 37. Gordon under center. And he looks to give it off to Chase Mesner. He's coming around from this left side, right side, going over to left. Gets stacked up right around the 1st down marker, though. We'll see whether they give it to him. Crowd's excited, but I think he got it.
And they did a little reverse action there, and a great play from Richard Lowry on the far side to stay home. And honestly, if I'm Chase Mesner and I see Richard Lowry, I'm not trying to lower the shoulder into him as Mesner did. I'm trying to put a little wiggle to him. Lowry, a big, solid kid there, 5'11", 175. Really putting you stacked up, which he does. But like you said, a 1st down, that's the key, and that's going to keep this clock running. And Middlebury with an opportunity now. 1st down and continue to let the clock run. And Mike Williams really doesn't have an answer right now on defense.
Mesner had done 2 reverses so far this season, has averaged 14 yards each. Each one has gotten them 14 yards. And it is Gordon under center. Gordon handing it off to the fullback. It's Fisher churning up the middle here, just running over people. Again, nice 9-yard gain on that 1st down run.
And these are runs that we didn't see a lot of in the first quarter. Middlebury really struggled to get up, get anything going inside with Corlin Fisher on the triple option look. And in the second half, it's almost been at will that Corlin Fisher's been able to get it. You look at, we talked about that 13-yard run to start their first touchdown drive of the half, and now this 9-yard pickup here, and a couple more in between. They've done a great job getting the football going inside and have a lot of success with the triple option here in the second half.
Marshall, you can't see the scoreboard. There's only 4 minutes left in this game. And right now, Gordon hands it off, and it's a big explosion up the middle for Fisher. Nobody's behind him. The 20, the 10, them trying to wrap him up at the 5, and does bring him down at the 1 yard line. What an absolute explosion for Corlin Fisher. About a 47-yard gain.
And that's a great carry there from Fisher, and that's what we talked about. This offensive line is doing a great job. First, they're dealing with their man on the line of scrimmage, but when they can leave the defensive end because they know they're not going to block him, all they do then is they're just going to go, the right tackle is going to go crash down. That's going to be Chris Greer. He's going to crash down. He's going to block the play side fullback, and he's blocking the fullback inside. And as Corlin Fisher takes the carry, he's going to kind of, his track that he's going to run on, that's what they're going to use in practice, the term, he's just going to get on a track like a train. He's just going to run that right behind Greer's back hip. There's no safety help now from CVU. Wide open field for Fisher to run.
Tigers are on the 1 yard line with Gordon under center. And he hands it off, and it's Nemo plunging towards the right side. He is going to get stacked up, though. From a Tigers perspective, though, not much wrong with that.
No, it's not. I thought he got in, but like you said, we're under 4 minutes, probably under 3 if I had to take a gander at any scoreboard look. So, you know, not actually the worst possible scenario, certainly if you're Jerry Nemo, you're going to punch one in for 6. But like you said, not the worst case scenario is another 25 seconds are going to run off the clock before the next play is called.
And second goal at the 1. With 3:14 left to go here in this final quarter. Tigers looking to add to their 33-13 lead. Gordon coming under center. He has his 3 running backs. He's got 2 down tight ends. And Gordon's calling it out here. He's dropping back. He hands it off up the middle to the fullback, and he is in for a touchdown. And that one was carried by... that gross again. I want to just get people the right number here. Fisher for the touchdown, 1 yard dive. Nothing fancy about that.
No, absolutely not. And you go to that triple option look, you score from 1 yard out on the other end of the field in the third quarter with Fisher, and you go right back to it again. This triple option has looked totally different here in the second half for the Middleburg Tigers. It's been a lot more effective, and that's just a result of CBU's defense just kind of wearing down. They were tight in the first quarter. The second through quarter on, they just haven't been as effective, and that's opened up a lot of lanes for Corlin Fisher.
And it's the Sears TA in for the extra point. Gleason holding it down, and DiLorenzo in for the extra point, and it is good. And the Tigers now leading 40-13. It's high school football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
That's right, folks. It's the most wonderful time of the year, hunting season. This is Paul from Vermont Field Sports, where you'll find everything you need for a successful season. We are proud to carry Browning's full line of hunting, shooting, and outdoor products. If you're looking for the very best in over and under, auto-loading, and pump action shotguns, Browning has the gun for you. And our staff has the experience to help you choose. Check out Browning accessories like cases, shooting bags, knives, lights, and outdoor clothing. Vermont Field Sports, located Route 7 South in Middlebury, or visit us on Facebook at VT Field Sports.
The MUHS Tigers play here. WVTK, Port Henry, Virgins, Middlebury, 92.1 WVTK. Now back to the field for more Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK.
So many times this season, Marshall, we've been in a position where the Tigers were in close games and gotten a little nervous. Tonight was one of them, as it was a boxing match between these two teams. But the final rounds have certainly belonged to the Middlebury Tigers. And it's essentially a knockout with a Corlin Fisher one-yard run and a Doug DiLorenzo extra point. The Tigers are ahead 40-13 over the Red Hawks. The Red Hawks now receiving the kickoff at about the 20, trying to return up the middle, and getting stacked up at about the 38. And for the Red Hawks, they are certainly running out of time. There's only about 2.5 minutes left to this game, and 2.5 minutes left to their regular season.
And to give you some out-of-town scores at the end of the third quarter, as of 13 minutes ago, Rutland is on top of Hartford 34-20. 34 unanswered points for Rutland after falling down 20-0. And then another little D1 tidbit to look after is the lead now for Brattleboro after three quarters is 35-26, a win for Brattleboro. They get the 4 seed and a loss. Mount Anthony should be in the playoffs, but they missed that top seed opportunity.
Wow, so Brattleboro was certainly one of the most talented players in the state with Czech Jakite. Interestingly enough, if things hold the way they would be tonight, Middlebury would stand a chance of not being, they wouldn't be on the same side of the bracket as Brattleboro, I don't believe. So we would see how that would work out here.
A win says, according to our paperwork, a win secures no worse than a 4, so they could even slip into the 3, which I couldn't even imagine possibly happening with, actually, isn't actually possible mathematically with Hartford and Rutland.
Actually, no, Brattleboro would then be in that side of the bracket. But anyway, so the Red Hawks have it. They're kind of holding on to it. They have a new quarterback in the game, and he is just running over and trying to make something happen here. It is Jake Evans, the junior for the Red Hawks, and right now it's going to be 3rd and 11. The Red Hawks absolutely getting nothing going here, and really looking probably towards keep your quarterback healthy, go into the playoffs here with a lower seed, but in the playoffs, and looking to make something happen here. And 3rd and 11. With Evans under center. He's got a running back in motion. And Evans pitches it out to this near side and gets taken down very, very quickly by Parker Gross. That carry was by number 26, Wyatt Shea.
Tiger Football 92.1 brought to you by McIntyre Services in Middlebury, making friends warm for 70 years, and certainly it's getting to that time of the year as well. Also by your locally owned credit union, One Credit Union Green Street in Virgins, and by Martin's Hardware of Bristol and Middlebury, your true value hardware store.
There's 1 minute left on the clock here in Hinesburg under the lights, and the Middlebury Tigers have ruined the first lit night of Friday night fun for CBU. It's 40-13. And it's a handoff up the middle. A lot of space there for a reserve fullback getting the first down, picking up a nice 15-yard run. Let's give him some credit and get his name out there. That was Mike Regan, a senior, and nice to see him get some work there, a senior playing. And Marshall, a mouse just ran by my foot.
A mouse?
A mouse.
Absolutely. Well, hey, is that a couple things going on up here? Why not a mouse?
Looked kind of like Mike Regan there running down the line. All right, Anna Regan again with a nice hole on the right side, but this time gets stuffed up pretty quickly. He's still running, though. He's
just tripping off down the stairs. I just saw him a little field now, taking off down the stairs.
Yeah, there he is.
He's going off to get some warm, hopefully some warm conditions on this briskly getting night. But this has been a great defensive performance for Middlebury. Great job by the defensive front. I mean, we talked about it throughout the second half. They have eliminated CVU's interior running attack, and they deserve all the credit for the reason Middlebury has had such a great second half tonight.
And second and eight here for the Redhawks. They're exploding up the middle there, looking to get something going, but stacked up pretty quickly was Wyatt Shea. And that is going to be it. The regular season is over. The Middlebury Tigers still undefeated and still working on that winning streak. That is 30 in a row, my friends, looking into the playoffs and looking at that second seed. And with Rutland looking like they're going to have the first seed, certainly it's looking like an interesting playoff situation for everyone involved. We'll be back with the postgame show and the J.P. Carrera Player of the Game. Tigers are victors by a score of 40-13. It's high school football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Hi, this is John Wallace, graduate gemologist and owner of Autumn Gold in Middlebury, Vermont. Stop in and melt someone's heart. Whether you're looking for fine handcrafted jewelry, a rare gemstone, or an awesome diamond, come in and see what we have to offer. Meet our fun staff of very talented designers and goldsmiths. And remember, we do expert in-house repairs, restorations, and appraisals as well. Autumn Gold, the Earth's most beautiful gifts.
It's the 2015 model closeout at Foster Motors in Middlebury. Choose from 0% up to 72 months or huge discounts and rebates on many of the remaining Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, or Rams. If you don't see the car, truck, or SUV you want in our inventory, we will special order or find it for you. Check us out at fostermotors.com or call 388-9961. Foster Motors is a proud sponsor of Tiger football. 0% for 72 months with approved credit. Remember...
Hi, this is Mike McGrath from Mike's Auto. Here's just a few things we do. Brakes, shocks, struts, wheel bearings, mufflers, tune-ups, oil changes, head gaskets, engine work. We diagnose check engine lights, ABS lights, airbag lights, DPMS lights. We do Vermont State inspections, belts, hoses, radiators, oil undercoating, front end alignments. What we don't do is Johnson rods, muffler bearings, or flux capacitors because they don't exist. So if your car skips, grinds, wanders, or sputters, give us a call. 388-4138 in Middlebury, 453-5563 in New Haven, or just hit us on the web at mikesautomid.com. Remember, if we can't fix it, it ain't broke. And like us on Facebook.
Addison County Commission Sales is a locally owned and operated livestock auction service. The Wisnowski family has been serving Addison County farmers and surrounding area for over 65 years. Livestock sales are held every Monday and Thursday, starting at 3 p.m. Livestock trucking, free herd appraisals, and dairy replacement are also available upon request. Addison County Commission Sales. Visit them on Route 125 in East Middlebury. For more details, go to accscattle.com.
Change is good, especially if you're not happy with the current situation. Bordon Insurance Agency wants to let you know that they'll be there for you if and when you want to make that change. With local agents that live right here in your community. For home, auto, office, farm, boat, you name it, they can provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of all your insurances. Bordon Insurance, Merchants Row, downtown Middlebury, and at BordonInsurance.com. Bordon Insurance, local people insuring local people.
Now back to Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK.
Welcome back to Hinesburg as the Tigers have spoiled the first ever Friday night lights for the CVU Redhawks en route to a 40-13 victory fueled by a dominant second half in which they only gave up 6 points and tacked on 27 of the round. We'll give you the scoring rundown right now. CVU kicked it off in the first quarter, 2:34 left. Bortrick to Kingston from 7 yards out after a blocked punt for CVU gave the Redhawks a ball at the 10-yard line headed in. Middlebury answered with the opening possession of the second quarter, scoring with 10:20 left as Oakley Gordon found Chase Messer from 27 yards out. That tied the score at 7. With 2:32 left in the first half, Trey Coffin put the Tigers on top 13-7 with a 4-yard touchdown run that was set up by a 15-yard run from Ali Abdul-Sader and a long connection to Chase Messner. In the second half, CVU started off. They forced a fumble on Middlebury's opening possession. Took the ball later on a fourth and 10 from the 18. Picked up the first down to the 8 after a penalty and a hold brought them back to the 14. Brad Reynolds punched it in for a 14-yard touchdown to tie the score at 13 as the 2-point extra point conversion was no good. Middlebury answered, though, on their very next drive with 4:43 left in the third. A 1-yard touchdown run from Cortland Fisher, set up by a 13-yard run from Fisher and an 18-yard run by Kaufman, gave the Tigers a 2013 lead, and there was no looking back. With just 57.4 seconds left in the third, Parker Gross punched in from 4 yards out. And then to start the fourth quarter, a 46-yard interception return from Andrew Gleason, no good on the extra point, made it 30-13, and with just 2:55 left, Coleman Fisher had a 45-yard run to the 1-yard line before punching it in on his own from 1 yard out, made it 40-13, and that wraps up the scoring here in Hinesburg as the Tigers roll over to a 40-13 victory. And we'll give you a little out-of-town scoreboard before BRT returns on J.P. Carrera, player of the game. In Hartford, last check we've got is this still that 34-20 lead for Rutland, and that would give the Hartford Hurricanes the 3 seed with this Tiger win, and Rutland the number 1 overall seed. And then one other score that has a little repercussions is the score of Mount Anthony trailing Brattleboro late in that football game, and Colchester making it in. They had a 26-14 lead over BFA. That win would get the Colchester Lakers into the postseason, a potential, depending on where all the rest of the donuts fall here in this batch, could get the 7th seed and potentially give a matchup between the Tigers and the Lakers in the first round of the playoffs. But now, the LQC has returned to our J.P. Carrera, player of the game.
And surely in Chicago is going to be happy tonight, my friends, because our player of the game is none other than the Tasmanian Devil himself. You may not realize that Marshall's given you that nickname, my friends, but he has given you that for your hard-charging ways. But our tonight's player of the game is Jerry Nemo. And Jerry, a couple things we noted, obviously some running there, but really tremendous work on defense tonight, tremendous work harassing the quarterback. You got to the quarterback once, but just a lot of pressure in general. From the defensive side, what were some things that worked tonight?
Well, we really prepared for their options since they pretty much run the same offense as us. We knew what to do.
Yeah, you knew what to do, and you could see things developing in a way that you were pretty familiar with.
Yeah.
And that's got to help, right? I mean, what's the difference when you play a team that does what you do versus a team that looks substantially different? Even like last week when you're playing Rice, they do a lot of different things. How does that help?
Yeah, we know more of their tendencies and what to expect from what they're doing in certain situations.
Sure, so you got to say, you know, that's what we would do in that time. So the score at one point, 13-13, in fact, you almost were down by one. You got, you know, an extra point thing happened there, but you're down. And then you just go on this tremendous run. What made that difference?
We made some adjustments in intermission, and we just settled down and got ready to play Tiger football.
Now, for you guys playing here on a Friday night, you were used to that, playing on a Friday night. Probably for CVU, different emotional thing for them because they're coming in, it's Friday night, they've got the lights. How would you describe the team's emotions coming into tonight?
Yeah, today was a big game because we knew it was their first and we knew they were going to have a lot of fans, so we wanted to go out and play.
And come out and just come out and be excited about it. Do the lights affect you guys at all in a bad way?
I'm not really sure. I don't really think they did, but yeah. They looked a little different.
Yeah, yeah. But a pretty well-lit field. You know, we wondered whether the height of the lights would make a difference in the kicking game. Didn't seem to make a difference. No trouble with the lights getting in your eyes or anything?
No, not really.
No, well, you've got a big overhang from the helmets anyway. They kind of block you in there. So looking forward to the playoffs. You know, your coaches, have they talked to you guys about the playoffs at all, or do they, what's their approach?
They said if we win tonight, we'll get home field advantage, and that's all they really care about.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
And generally, Coach Smith and the gang are kind of one game at a time sorts of fellas there for sure. And
How do you feel going to the playoffs? I mean, you must be pretty proud. You've had an undefeated regular season. You guys have continued a great tradition, a tradition you've been involved in for a while. Give me a couple words that maybe describe how you feel going into the playoffs.
Feel ready.
You feel ready? You feel confident?
Last second half got us.
Got you ready. It really looked like Tiger football. You know, it was funny. At one point, they decided to punt it to you guys with about 8 minutes to go, and they were down by a whole handful. And we're saying, boy, you know, we see you guys every week, and of course, you played for so many years for the Tiger. You give it to the Tigers with 8 minutes to go, you're going to turn around, and even if they don't score and you get it back, there's only going to be 2 minutes left on the clock. And you were in there near the end. What do the coaches try to tell you when you're sitting on a lead? And I know no strategy, but just what's the mental kind of thing that they try to get you to do?
Just keep going. Just keep powering through.
So kind of don't change anything at all. Well, yeah, great job. We know it's true. We know everybody will be very proud of you. A great season by you. You know, whenever you get the ball, you rip off tremendous runs, just the passion you play with and everything else. And then on defense, just all the work you've done all the way along the season. This is an award for tonight, but it's also really a Player of the Game award for all the hard work you've done all season long. So our JP Carrera Player of the Game tonight, Jerry Nemo.
Thank you.
And we're going to step aside for a moment. We'll be back with a few more comments here from Marshall and myself. The Middlebury Tigers finishing off the regular season by a score of 42-13. We'll be back with a couple last words here on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
There's a beautiful furniture store in Middlebury that you have to check out. It's Woodware Fine Furniture. They have dining and living room sets in gorgeous woods like cherry, maple, and oak, chairs, sofas, bedding, and great varieties of all. Or if you don't see it there, just ask Drew and he can probably get it for you. Woodware also provides shipping and delivery. You've probably seen the Woodware truck. It's everywhere. Woodware Fine Furniture. Handmade wood crafts, toys, and fine furniture for 30 years. Woodware, Route 7 South, Middlebury.
McIntyre Services, a family business owned and operated in Middlebury for 72 years. They sell home heating fuel, diesel fuel, and gasoline. One on 213 Exchange Street, and you have the news station, 49 Court Street. Both are in Middlebury, and both are open 24-7. Sunoco is their brand, and they encourage their customers to apply for the Sunoco Rewards Card, which gives you 5 cents a gallon off the pump price of gasoline or diesel. McIntyre Services of Middlebury, making friends warm for 72 years.
The A. Johnson Company in Bristol has been a family-owned business since 1906. They supply woodworkers and do-it-yourself remodeling projects with locally and sustainably harvested timber. Visit their retail store and friendly staff on Route 116 in Bristol and see their wide selection of softwood and hardwood lumber, including paneling, flooring, and choose from planed or rough. The A. Johnson Company also sells kiln-dried firewood. Make the A. Johnson Company your one-stop for all your lumber needs or call 453-4884. That's 453-4884.
Celebrating 60 years in business, LaBerge equals insurance. LaBerge Insurance Agency has been helping you find the right insurance. Don't pay too much for the wrong coverage. LaBerge Insurance will get it right. Homeowners, renters, condo, auto, life, commercial, or farm insurance, call LaBerge at 388-2772. LaBerge Insurance Agency, locally owned and conveniently located at 1 Washington Street, Middlebury. A proud sponsor of Tiger football.
Look under your feet. That's concrete. And whether it's at home, on the farm, or in the workplace, concrete makes up foundations, sidewalks, barnyards. There are lots of uses for concrete in Addison County, but there's only one place to get it. J.P. Carrera and Sons. Their state-of-the-art plant, modern fleet of red, white, and blue trucks, and experienced drivers ensure the quality and efficient delivery of your concrete, crushed gravel, wash sand, and stone. Route 116 Middlebury, 388-6361. J.P. Carrera, the name in concrete.
High school football is on 92.1 WVTK.
Well, the lights are still blazing, but the Tigers have turned off the lights on the regular season here. An 8-0 record, continuing their three-year dominance and running through Division One. The Tigers, who are going to go into the playoffs because of QPR with a second seed. Marshall, looks like that Rutland, most likely, we don't want to put the cart before the horse, but it sounds like it's going to be the first seed. Sounds like probably Hartford, the third seed, and then it sounds like maybe Brattleboro, the fourth. Beyond that, my friends, we can't really tell you. I know people at home would love to know who the Tigers' opponent would be, possibly St. Jay. You just can't say. The QPR is complicated enough, everything else. But, Marshall, a few thoughts as we head into the playoffs here.
Well, I thought they came and they played a good second half, and their defenses looked strong, and that's one thing that we've seen a lot of is very good run defense. And the one thing I was wondering about was going to be the pass defense. And granted, they didn't play a pass-first football team here in CVU, but I thought it was their deep pass defense was admirable. It was what it was. They didn't give up too many big plays. They got bailed out on a couple missed opportunities from CVU, but I thought the defense played pretty well, especially in the secondary spot. This defense has struggled a lot at this season. And then on the offensive side of the ball, kind of a similar start to these games that we've seen all season, a little slow. And you would have liked to see week 7, week 8, these were the times that they could have kind of started jumping out to earlier leads. Wouldn't really see that tonight, but a great second half made up for that. And I think that as long as they can bring that second half intensity next week and beyond, especially if they were to get a team like CVU or, Colchester Essex, those teams that have had a lot of success throwing the football on them, I think then they could be in a little trouble. But right now, I think they're going in with a lot of confidence. The offense looked very strong in the second half. I'd like to see that for all four quarters. But I think, like Jerry said in the interview, this is a lot of confidence. This is a good football team, and the second half was what they needed to kind of make sure that was instilled on them. This is a good CVU team, and they put the lick on them, that 40-13 tune, and that's worth noting. You haven't played an overly strong schedule. To go up and get a team that's coming in at 500 and above, to get a win like that certainly is much needed for this football team with a schedule that's consisted of a lot of one-win and no-win football teams.
The Tigers demonstrate a lot of resilience. A nice tune-up, as you say, for the playoffs. For the Tigers, just a quick note, we'll get off the air here and let you go warm up. But funny note about Hartford, you made an observation.
If the Tigers were to win, and in all likelihood, Hartford, who was trailing by 14 entering the fourth quarter, if they were to fall to Rutland, they would be the 3 seed. And Middlebury and Rutland, if they both were to advance, would play each other in the semifinal. That would be the opportunity for Middlebury's 32nd consecutive win. Now, obviously, Hollywood would have ran Hartford in as the 1 seed so that they could have faced off in the state championship. And everyone knows Hartford's 33-game winning streak lasted until it fell at the hands of Middlebury. So as of 3 years ago now. So this is that opportunity, kind of a Hollywood script kind of being formed in front of us. If those two were to meet in the state semifinals, Middlebury would go for the 32nd consecutive win, trying to match Hartford's state record 33 consecutive win mark. Kind of a little Hollywood action that we've got going here in the state of Vermont with those the two teams that have dominated football for the last 5 to 6 seasons in Vermont, especially at the D1 level, now being that potential matchup there in the semifinals.
Now the road through the playoffs is certainly going to be exciting, and maybe not the perfect Hollywood script, but certainly a good one either way. And but I have to say, just from a Tiger fan standpoint, I think having Rutland delayed until the final is the perfect thing. I think if there's any team that has the pieces there to really do that throwing, I think Andy Kanosh and the Rutland Raiders are the team the Tigers would rather wait on the longest.
Absolutely, and I think that the Middlebury is going to get, if they were to go through Hartford or Rutland, first off, I mean, that's what we've said all along, is that if you want to win the state championship, you've got to go through any or all three of Middlebury, Hartford, Rutland. Middlebury's got to go through the other two, and that's no surprise, as now Hartford, Rutland kind of getting the lucky draw. They would only have to go through one of the two outside of, you know, Hartford now in the regular season. But those are the two, in my opinion, outside of Middlebury, those are the top three best coached football teams in the state.
Sure.
Especially at the D1 level, with John Norman in Rutland, he's brought this program back from the depths, and this was a time when Rutland used to be the epitome of football in the state of Vermont. Middlebury, Rutland, and Hartford, and all those three teams, those elite teams, are back on top of the pedestal, and a lot of credit needs to be given to the coach staff, and in particular, John Norman, the athletic director and head football coach with the Raiders. They've done a fantastic job getting this football team to win a late season matchup with Rutland, with Hartford, actually means something, and people actually tuning in, whether they're cheering for either team or not. For Middlebury, you're going to get some great coach football teams outside of just great talented football teams. And that's going to be interesting how Dennis Smith and his coaching staff is going to respond to that and how they're going to answer to the nuances that each other team is going to bring them.
And as Marshall's saying, there's a lot to talk about and a lot to think about. I think it's as exciting a playoff setup as I can remember, certainly in my time broadcasting here in my sixth year, and just really excited to see what happens. Good teams, interesting situations. It's going to be a lot of fun. Stay tuned to 92.1 all week long. You'll hear about an upcoming game and who the Tigers are going to be facing. But we do know this. We're going to be at Doc Collins Field.
Yes, sir.
It's going to be 6:30 for the pregame show, 7 o'clock for the kickoff. We're going to be back here next Friday. Friday. We hope you will be too. For Marshall Hastings, I'm Bjarke Sears. For Jim Tye back in the studio, for everyone involved in 92.1 WVTK, we thank you very much for listening, and we will see you next week. It's been High School Football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
You've been listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK. Tiger Football all season long on WVTK is brought to you in part by
your locally owned credit union, One Credit Union, Green Street in Vergennes. McIntyre Services of Middlebury, making friends warm for 70 years. Addison County Commission Sales, Addison County's premier destination for Vermont livestock. Martin's Hardware of Bristol and Middlebury, your True Value Hardware store. Bordon Insurance of Middlebury, home of the co-op chicks for all your insurance needs. Eustis Farm Supply and Hardware, proudly started and run by the Eustis family of Brit Porsche. Monument Farms of Weybridge, join the movement and support local farms. The A. Johnson Lumber Company of Bristol, sustainable timber harvesting and SFI certified. Vermont Field Sports, for all your hunting needs and a great selection of new and used guns, Route 7 in Middlebury. Mike's Auto and Towing, for all your car care needs and a whole lot more. Mike'sAutoMid.com. That's Mike's Auto, M-I-D-D.com. The National Bank of Middlebury, offering accounts for every stage of life to meet your financial needs in Middlebury, Brandon, Bristol, Hinesburg, and Vergennes. LaBerge Insurance, LaBerge equals insurance, Washington Street in Middlebury. Poulin Auto, changing the way you feel about buying a car in South Burlington and Barrie. Woodware Fine Furniture, Route 7 South in Middlebury. Desibray's Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat, 1232 Exchange Street in Middlebury, with a drop-off location at Linda's Apparel in Vergennes. Foster Motors, home of the We Care People on Route 7 in Middlebury. Fourth and Goal, everything for the rink, court, pool, field, and diamond, 68 Main Street in Middlebury. Mike's Fuels, for all your home, business, and agricultural needs, Route 22A in Bridport. Della Motorsports in Plattsburgh, making your buying experience a pleasant one. And J.P. Carrera and Sons Concrete, always ready to mix, and they guarantee a solid finish. Call them at 388-6363.
For a complete schedule of sports heard on 92.1 WVTK and more information, visit 921WVTK.com. Thanks for listening. This has been a local sports production on Addison County's 92.1 WVTK.